welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. I'll see you, America. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
You're losing your hair.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'll tell you all about my odyssey. Meanwhile, you guys can call up because I'm trying to get that House AU thing going. I'm trying to get a little repetition here, get a little consistency. You guys just call up at 6 a.m. and tell us whatever you want, because as the show gets going, we have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the show. We'll be talking to UFC fighter Matt Hughes. There are many topics, many guests, many things to get to, and we might not find time for you. So now is the time to discuss. Well, I just got back from Phoenix, and as you know, I was at some CBS conference, and there was some panel on creativity, and I was up on stage. And it was, well, let's see, who was up there? Charlie Rose moderated it, which was semi-surreal when he's interviewing me. I'm sure he was the thrill of his career. Also, they had the creator of Dexter, which is another one of those great shows that I never watch, but people are addicted to it. Also, the creator of the CSI trilogy. And who else was up there? My buddy who helped us work on The Man Show, Jonathan Davies is his name. He also did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and he's now
British.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was my boss at Millionaire. I used to write on that.
Yeah, good guy.
Very nice man, and good looking.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Nice looking.
Mm-hmm.
When I say nice looking, I mean he looks nice.
That's right, yeah.
Not even nice looking, just he looks nice.
Yeah, he has a pleasant face.
That's right. So we're up there. I had to point out much to Anthony What's-His-Nose, the guy who created CSI, when Charlie Rose was asking about where he gets his creative fountain. I had to explain, he didn't do three shows. He did one show and whacked it up three ways. This is you not opening three separate restaurants. This is McDonald's. Once you did the one, you just franchise.
That's how it went on the symposium. Let me explain to you why this guy is not creative.
Yeah. Well, I think I was kidding, but I'm not sure how he took it. But anyway, I spent a little time with the big boss man, Les Moonves.
Ooh, how's that?
He's good. I've known him for a while. He's always been a good guy and kind of a fan of mine. And, well, I don't mean a fan, but he knows who I am. And he's the guy who got me going when Craig Kilborn was leaving. And so I used to spend a little time discussing that with him. So it was all fun in the sun. I did get bumped by something, and then I'll tell you, I got bumped by something else. Now, you tell me if there's something wrong with me.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I do a lot of complaining, but I feel like I'm justified.
Often you are.
This is at a resort. This is a five-star resort in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Already feeling your pain.
The Phoenician?
And no, it's like the Rocks or something. It's up in the Boulders. It's up. It's amazing. You know, it's beautiful golf. Just super rich white people drive around golf carts. That's all. You know, you think you've arrived when you're driving a Mercedes or Lexus or Porsche. You've arrived when you drive a golf cart. That is the number one rich means of transportation, a golf cart. But
yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington. He drives a golden golf cart. So I'm in my bungalow, and it's nice. It's my own little hacienda bungalow, and I'm doing my thing. And I get up in the morning, and I'm dying for my coffee, and they have the little coffee maker there that's in the bungalow. And a lot of hotel rooms now have a little coffee maker, and you rip the thing off, and you make your own coffee. Then it comes time for the milk. And there they have the little packet of generic cream,
yeah.
The dried packet of generic cream. Creamer, the non-dairy or powdered creamer, which I hate. It really just changes the color of the coffee.
Yeah, no one likes it.
Doesn't do much to it. But underneath it is a semi-large mini refrigerator, if that makes sense, filled with super expensive high-end drinks and juices and beverages. And I think, why not put the little creamer cup thing in the fridge down there?
The little half-and-half cups.
Put the little half-and-half cups. First off, those things would last 10 years in the desert on the roof of this goddamn hut. In the fridge, it's never going to end, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, What do those things cost? 3 cents a piece?
If that.
6 cents a
piece? You buy them in bulk.
You buy them in bulk. And it's free. You don't even buy them in bulk. They give them to you in bulk. You have a whole refrigerator, and when you open the door, it's got the little slots in it inside the door, and there's nothing in it. Why not put 20 of those in there and call it a night? Really? You're a 4-star hotel. Someone's making coffee, tea. What percentage of people make themselves a coffee in the morning? I'd say 80%.
I would agree.
And out of that 80%, who wants a little milk or a little cream in there?
I'd say 60%.
60 or maybe even 60 plus. So they're going to get the little thing like we're traveling a coach on Southwest or something. We order coffee.
That's ridiculous at a
it
fancy
is.
Resort
it
like
is.
That.
It is. And you know what? It bothers me. And I don't know why I'm such an a-hole, but it bothers me. All right. So I'm right for being an a-hole in that one?
Yes.
Okay. You want to go to the phones?
Sure, let's.
All right.
Let's go to What Say You.
Jay.
Yes, sir.
What's happening, my brother?
Nothing. I just wanted to say welcome back. It was kind of odd to not hear you on the radio yesterday, but Teresa and Brian did an excellent job holding down the fort.
Yes. I thought they were very capable. Look, I only heard a few moments when I was on hold, but the few moments I heard, I liked.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You should have them, well, not them on regularly, but...
They should do it on someone else's show. I agree.
We were thinking about doing a weekend show, but some back doctor has 8 hours.
There might be a good real estate show. We don't want to bump that.
Brandon.
Ace Man.
What's up?
Hey, man, it's great to hear you. I haven't heard you in like 2 years. It's been horrible. I just got canned from a radio gig, man. I need some advice. What should I do?
Where are you? Where did you get canned from?
Oh, I'm Oxnard, so it's in Ventura County.
Mm-hmm. Why did you get canned?
Oh, budget, you know, for years I had heard all the horror stories about the business, and now I guess I know for sure. I know all about it. Well, not all about
You're on air talent?
Like an on-air producer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to squeeze in there as much as I can. Lord knows I didn't do much behind the mic, so.
Mm-hmm. It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Yeah. And you're... seems like you got the chops for the on-the-air gig. Brandon, that's a crazy laugh you have.
Is that a plan?
Hey, man, you know, people would, like, call and request it, man. That was my one thing I was going for, baby. That was it. That was all I had.
They wanted your laugh.
You wanted a laugher at the Playboy Mansion, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I was looking for a laugher at one point.
I am kind of looking for a laugher. Hey, Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Hang on a second. Just hang back and laugh when you're mused, all right?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
All right, hold on a second. Let me talk to Mark. Mark? Did I do that right, Bald Brian? There we go. Mark?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
What's happening, Mark?
Hey, anything happened at Kimmel's house over the weekend for football? Any guests show up?
Let's see. Recap of Kimmel's on Sunday. A large group of folks showed up over there. Kimmel fired up the pizza oven. And I got to tell you, there is nothing worse than announcing you're going on a diet and then going over to Kimmel's house and trying to resist his pizzas for 9 hours. He's got a pizza oven in the back. He throws the oak blocks in there. He sparks the whole thing up. And then once they get going, it takes a little while to get going. Once they get going, about every 6.5 minutes, a pizza goes right past you. And when you see a pizza that has your toppings on it, it's a mandate. It's a calling. You can say, oh, I'm on a diet is the one with the big slabs of like, when the pepperoni goes by, I go, all right, I think I can. I'm on a diet. And then when the one with the big round slices of tomato goes by, it's a little water. I go, I'm on a diet. But when the sausage and onion goes by, I have to pop up and go get it. And the crust gets a little burned around the outside. And then what happens is you have a few beers and your resolve goes to hell in a basket. You say, okay, I'm only going to have one. I'll have one slice of pizza. One slice. That's fine. That's fine. And they just keep sitting. And then I had a couple Miller Lights, and the pizza started talking to me.
What did it say?
Feed me. No, wait a minute. Feed me. And it'd be like, Adam.
Feed me.
Who's that, Mr. Mushroom?
No.
Who's that, Mr. Olive?
No.
Who's talking to me?
Jenny Sausage. Oh, man, am I lonely.
Boy, do I miss the inside of your mouth and your belly. Oh, come on now, Adam. Show me what you got. Come on, do that move where you taco me in half, ironically making me into an even more fattening food, and then turning me on my side 90 degrees and sliding me into your soup cola. Come on, Ace Man. Oh, there's a little bit of me hanging off the side. You want to get that before it gets on the other pizza. Come on now. Come on, Adam. No. Get away from me. Stop talking to me. No, then it's this thing where I'm doing like a William Shatner thing from a 60s series. Stop it. And everyone's looking at me, wanting to know what I'm saying. There's a pizza on the wing. It's talking to me. I couldn't help it. I had four slices, and then I had the, and then I also had a bunch of people's discarded slices.
Yeah, those because, don't count.
Yes, even though I ate the equivalent to six slices that were made up of other people's quarter and
crust
and crust and everything, still doesn't count. I never went for a whole pizza.
I'd like to say something to Brandon about his laughing. I mean, Adam is anthropomorphizing a piece of sausage, and I hardly heard a chuckle out of you.
Well, you know, if you would have gone to the bacon, then we were talking. Sausage just isn't my game, so, you know.
Oh, I
okay.
See.
Okay.
The good news is you're fired.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was something.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we had a good time, although Cousin Sal's Dallas Cowboys lost.
That's a good thing.
And Sal could not. That's what we all thought from inside the house. Sal couldn't focus, so he had to go watch one of the TVs outside of the house.
Yeah, I know that feeling. When the game is so important to you, you can't watch with people.
You can't have a bunch of J.O.s cheering at the wrong time or yelling or whatever. The other problem over at Kimmel's house is, One set of TV sets. He has banks of TV sets. They're in separate rooms. One set is literally a second and a half to 2 seconds ahead of the other set. So you'll be sitting in the room, and you'll be like, it'll be like, well, it's fourth down, and they're out of timeouts, and the Cowboys are going to have to go for it. Romo out of the shotgun. There's the snap. He's looking, and then you hear from the other room, you're like, what? And you know something happened, and you know it was big, except for they're 2 seconds ahead of you. Good times.
Did you believe T.O. was crying at the press conference after the game?
Well, T.O., well, first off, all crazy guys cry very easily. And all super manly guys cry very easily.
See, I have a theory. I think he took some pain pills before the game to play.
Adam, you're my best pal.
Oh, best part of the week,
yo. All right, what? Oh, pain kills? Sorry, Mark.
Yeah,
look. Here's the thing. I mean, ironically, macho guys and athletes cry more easily than nerds. What do you think about that?
I think they do. I think they're a little more sensitive than regular people.
I do too, and maybe it's just something that's built up. I don't know what the deal is. But
Adam, you're my best pal.
When was that?
That was Sunday. He got loaded.
Had a few pieces of pizza and some beers.
Yeah. Hold on. Was Eric still? Who's on? Nobody. Are you just doing that to me, Paul O'Brien? Hey, Eric.
Yes.
What's going on, my brother?
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call, and thank you for doing the show.
Thank you for listening.
Give me some advice. A couple months ago, I asked him how you guys got started in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, just go in somewhere and start talking. And I did, and it has been a world of difference. Everything's gone smoother, whether it's...
And the chick was like, look, if you're not going to buy any frozen yogurt, I'm going to have to ask you to leave my business. You're like, I'm not done talking. My 50 minutes is not up yet.
I'm not sure if my mom loved me and if you could twist the chocolate and vanilla together.
Yeah, what's that got to do with the Jimmies? So you went in and started talking to somebody.
Yeah, I found, like, again, for any advice for anybody, like, you could do it through, like, a local college, or there's, like, cheap, like, depending on your employment.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it made me a little nervous, to tell you the truth. Everything started going so good, and then here comes the new year, and all my dreams are coming true. Now the show's exactly how it used to be when
Damn Shuck was here. Hey, Eric, and I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to explain what happened. I remember the call. Eric called us a couple months back, wanted to know how to get into therapy. Teresa's been in therapy for some time. So have I. Look, for me, it's just a part of sort of life and maintenance. And I would equate it to when people go, well, what do you think? Do you think it helps? Do you really think it helps? Does it make a difference? Don't know. It's like saying, I take a multivitamin every morning when I get up. Do you think it helps? Do you think it helps? Do you think it helps? I don't know. I don't have prostate cancer, so I guess that's good. I generally feel good. I don't know if it makes a difference. I like the idea, but I want to be one of those people that takes a multivitamin when I get up in the morning. So thus, I want to be one of those therapy people. I want to be one of those exercise people. There's just certain things I do believe you should do is almost maintenance. I mean, you work on your body. We understand the maintenance physically. We understand that, look, you just can't go to Kimmel's and chug down too many Heinekens and eat too much pizza every single day. You have to get some exercise. You have to get some movement. It's part of basic health. You don't have to train for a triathlon or to go into the UFC, but you must have a certain maintenance. I think the same psychologically, emotionally, and mentally. And back to the analogy, do you really need the world's best trainer? If you went to a gym, if you went to any gym, your corner gym or big franchise, Bally's or whatever it is, and you walked in and there was some 23-year-old guy that was semi-motivated and he said, I'm going to work with you. I know rudimentary stuff. And again, you're not training for the decathlon in the Olympics. You're just a guy who wants to lose his beer gut. I'm sure that guy would be fine for you. You don't need the trainer to the stars, and you don't need the guy with the van who shows up at your house and wants $500 an hour. So I'm saying the same with therapy. Now, you don't want someone who slides your roofie and rapes you on the sofa, but just you're there to really hear yourself talk. Someone who's good can be very good for you, but I would argue, just like the trainer, you really just need to get involved with the process, and that's what Eric did, yes?
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Your advice was spot on. Thank you.
Good times, Eric. I'm nice glad it served you well.
Hey, thank you again for guys doing the show so much. I'm so glad that the new format is so fantastic. It's thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I can't take it anymore.
Brandon, back.
Let's see. Requesting more man bits from the show. Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is calling up pretty soon, but I'll be fast. Kenneth?
This is Dennis.
Oh, Dennis. There you go. What's up, Dennis?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got two things for you, actually.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to tell Teresa how great she is, Seth, for not liking diamonds and drinking Jameson.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I'm a huge fan, and she's going to be a huge star someday, I'm sure.
Thanks very much.
And the second is the man stuff. You guys do some sex and porn and beer stuff, you know? All the time, but not kind of all at once, but like maybe a man section would be awesome, you know, if you just spent some time on the beer, the porn, the sex. That would be awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what, our boss, Jack Silver, came in here and told us we needed to get back into the cooch business.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right, Adam?
Yes.
That would work for me.
All right, so Kenneth, you want a little more cooch talk?
Yeah, that's Dennis, but yeah.
I mean, Dennis, yeah, it says Kenneth up on the thing. Feel free to change that when you screw that up, by the way, Teddy. Okay, we'll take ourselves a quick break. I'll tell you why.
I got to fire a call screener.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's on the phone next. Want me to ask him how's cooch is hanging? All right. We'll take ourselves a break. The legendary one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, on the show next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, this is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I hope you enjoy On the Shoulders of Giants, an audio and musical journey through the Harlem Renaissance.
You know, this pretty kid in the streets of Harlem really creates excitement.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He truly defines grace under pressure.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, some quick stats. Kareem, when he was at UCLA went 88-2. Not bad for three or four years over there. Also has the most points in the NBA, 38,000 points. I wonder who's coming up on that. Well, we'll talk to Kareem and ask him. Kareem?
Yes.
Great to speak to you.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Where are you calling from?
I'm at home. I'm in Los Angeles, yeah.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I'm a big fan because I'm a Southern California native. I grew up in North Hollywood. And the Lakers were pretty much the thing when I was growing up out here. So this is a thrill for me.
Great.
Now, we'll talk about the documentary in just a second, but first we'll get to a few other questions. One thing I've always said about you is you had a really cool name, the name you were born with.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If my name was Dick Gobbler, I would switch it almost immediately. But Lou Alcindor's a really cool name. Did you have any trouble getting rid of it?
No. You know, I did that because of my religious conversion. You know, I wasn't trying to do anything political.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with the fact that I had a sincere change of heart about my religious affiliation, and I wanted to assume an Islamic identity. So, you know, my family was a little upset at the time, but when they saw that it was where it was coming from, they gave me some slack, and it never ended up being a problem. I never was trying to put them down or, you know, make them uncomfortable. It all had to do with you know, what was going on inside of me.
Was that right about as you were entering the pros?
No, it was 2 years after I entered the pros. Mm-hmm. I had become Muslim some 2 or 3 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to change my name and then find out that that's not what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be, and then be stuck in that situation.
Right. And then now Muhammad Ali did it a few years before you did, correct?
Yes, he did, and he took a lot of heat for it,
right.
And actually made it easier on me because people could see the contrast. There was a lot of politics involved with what he did, and that wasn't the case with me. But you know, the jury was out for a while, and you know, I had to just show everybody that you know, it was coming from a different place.
Yeah, I was going to say, when he did it, some announcers wouldn't call him by his new name and other things like that. But it seemed like once he had blazed that trail, it would definitely make things easier for guys who came after him. And it's also easier when you're really good at your job, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't try to make it an issue. You know, people gave me the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, I have to give Ali some credit there for taking some of the heat off.
Did you know Ali at the time?
Yes, I've known Muhammad Ali since I was 19 years old. I met him when I was a freshman at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd always been a hero of mine. You know, after the Olympics, I started following his career. He had so much charisma, and he was such a brilliant athlete. And you know, my dad was a boxer, so boxing was a big deal in my family. You know, I remember listening. I had to be like 5 or 6 years old, listening to the fight when Sugar Ray Robinson fought Jake LaManna in Chicago. You know, I listened to it with my dad. I can still remember that.
Yeah, those were some epic wars. I think they fought 3 times, maybe more.
Yeah.
Hey, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's on the line. I had a question that might sound stupid, but maybe it isn't. I don't know that it's ever been asked to you. It seemed like it was a foregone conclusion from the time you were in the 10th grade and 6'9" that you'd be playing basketball. But if you were a short guy, do you think you'd be playing basketball? Do you love basketball that much? Or was it just a way for you to, you know, have the world open up?
I definitely love the game, but my first and most intense love was baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Ah, a little Michael Jordan.
I had my dreams where I'd replace Gil Hodges and then play first base for the Brooklyn Dodgers. that's really what I wanted to do. I listened to the games as a kid. One of the ladies that used to babysit me when I was a kid, Mary Mitchell, she was a big baseball fan, and she lived literally within walking distance of the Polo Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there at the foot of the hill by her house. It was a 10-minute walk at the most. And a very short bus ride across the river to Yankee Stadium. So I got to see Joe DiMaggio play his last year. I got to see Willie Mays play his first year. I have no memory of it, but I know I was there because she told me that she took me to the stadiums.
Well, I'm going to do that with my kids, too. I'm going to explain to them all sorts of places I didn't take them, but say I took them there. I may even use Joe DiMaggio. Oh, yes,
yeah.
you saw him play his last game right here in Chavez Ravine. Hey, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, let's. I'm really a huge fan because I love basketball and athletes are great, but a thinking athlete which Kareem certainly is, has always made him much more complex and much more interesting than just your average guy throwing elbows and sky hooks down in the paint. Kareem, let's talk a little about one of your latest ventures, On the Shoulders of Giants. Tell us about that.
Well, it's an audiobook now, and we're doing a documentary film that will come out later this year. But it's about the Harlem Renaissance and the early days of professional basketball. So I get a chance to describe what Harlem was like in those days. And one of the aspects of the Harlem Renaissance was sports. Joe Louis was an athlete, the Negro League baseball players, and the Harlem Ren's Big Five, which was Harlem's professional basketball team. They were the best team in professional basketball prior to the start of the NBA, and nobody knows about them. They're totally forgotten.
And you grew up in Harlem, correct?
I grew up in Harlem. I lived in Harlem till I was three, and then we moved to a neighborhood right on the edge of Harlem for the rest of the time. But
with taller streetlights. Kareem could not walk to school.
It wasn't that bad.
Kareem, yeah, now you had a chance or were offered a chance to be a Harlem Globetrotter?
Yeah, they tried to get me to leave UCLA.
Really?
They put some money on the table and said I could come and play for them. But getting my degree was very important to me. You know, it was something that my family identified as a goal for me, and it's something I wanted to do. I was very happy to go out there and receive my diploma in 1969.
We have some questions on the line for you. I'll read you one. TC from Palm Springs wants to know if you have any stories about Bruce Lee.
Well, I got plenty of stories about Bruce Lee, but he's a wonderful guy, you know, a practical joker and a really good guy. You know, I got to know him and his family. It really hurt me when Brandon died so tragically. You know, I used to babysit Brandon.
Really?
When he was
must have scared the hell out of him. I couldn't believe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming to my house to babysit for me. Yeah, that was so tragic. He was shooting, I think, The Crow, and they were using non-union guys, and they were shooting in, like, South Carolina, and they had a gun that was supposed to have blanks in it, and there was still some wadding or something in it, and they shot him, and it actually killed him, correct?
No, you know what it was? It was a piece of metal that simulates the front end of a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
They put the blank charge behind that. One of them got stuck in the gun, and it hit him right in the abdomen. If it had hit him any other place on his body, it would have been a minor flesh wound. But it hit him right in the abdomen and entered his abdomen and nicked an artery, and he bled to death. And just so tragic.
It's really the fragility of life. One minute you're sitting around with Bruce Lee and his son, two, Bruce Lee looking like a guy who would live to 150, and his beautiful young son, and now you blink your eye, and it's been 10 years since his son has been gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was a horrible day.
We'll try to stay on a happier note. The book is also then going to be a documentary.
Yes.
Done with Spike Lee.
Well, Spike has advised me on it. I've more or less gone out and done the interviews on my own. But I've had some wonderful help. Herbie Hancock does the music. We got Bob Costas reading a chapter on professional basketball. We have Avery Brooks reading about the Harlem Renaissance. Samuel Jackson, Maya Angelou, they comment about the Harlem Renaissance. Maya knew people like Langston Hughes and County Cullen and other people who were some of the literary lights of that era. And she relates what they meant. She talks about Joe Louis, his influence in the black community, how it made everybody proud. We got Jesse Owens. We have the audio of Jesse Owens talking about his experience in the Olympics in 1936. And we have the radio broadcast of the 100-meter race where he showed up, Hitler, right there at the Olympic Stadium in Berlin.
Hey, yes, a very historic date. Kareem, here's another question that popped into my head, and I've never really thought about it. You know, when you're growing up, and I like boxing, and I watch a lot of the old fights, and I hear about what guys like Joe Louis did for the community. And when you have an oppressed community, like the black community, segregated, and you're essentially having your being robbed of your self-esteem when a man who has the same skin color you have is the heavyweight champion of the world. It gives you hope. It's a big deal. And it was really important. But now, I wonder, because now I wonder if there's the opposite message being sent. Young black kids watching the TV, seeing the NBA or NFL being predominantly black and thinking, I don't need to study, I can do this. Do you think that's a danger?
I think there's a problem there in that there's no balance.
Mm-hmm.
No, sure, it's great to pursue an athletic career, but people don't achieve their whole development if they don't develop their minds. And that's a real problem. It's a problem for the NBA and NFL that these young people are not, they don't have the development interior, you know, the mental and emotional development that you get when you go to college, that doesn't happen, and it inhibits their ability to be professional athletes.
Did Coach Wooden insist on that, or is that just something that was in you?
Coach Wooden insisted on it, and it was in me because my parents insisted on it. So, you know, it was very important for me to graduate, and Coach Wooden tried to recruit people who would come and participate in the program and get their degrees.
Well, you think of sports as all brawn, but as I was thinking about the Patriots, who I wish would lose this coming Sunday, as I was thinking about them being unbeaten and unstoppable, it struck me the guys on their team are no bigger, no faster, no stronger. Belichick is smarter, Brady's smarter, and their team is smarter, and they work smarter. So why wouldn't you want guys that are smarter on your team?
That's the whole idea right there. The smarter ones usually are the ones that are able to get it done. And they have, you know, your attention span, when you have the discipline of a scholar, you have an attention span that is longer.
Right.
Well, applying that to your sport enables you to do the right thing in more circumstances than someone who has not had that kind of training.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is on the phone. Yes, Kareem, I have said many times, as someone who's gone around and done some speaking at colleges, when you go to a state school versus an Ivy League, the difference is the attention span. When you go out and talk for 2 hours and you're in Ithaca State and there are a bunch of guys that just barely passed the GED, if you don't tell a booby joke or a fart joke every 15 seconds, the crowd will start shifting and getting bored. You can see it. When you go to University of Pennsylvania, they're all listening with both ears straight on through, and the more information, the better. And I could see that when you're out practicing, doing some repetitive drills and trying to focus, how that could come into play.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the group has to be able to learn. When you're teaching these guys, you have to be able to teach a group of them to act in concert. Five people working together on a basketball court achieve so much more than five individuals doing their individual thing. It's
right.
Ridiculous.
That being said, all you need in high school is one Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Can you imagine facing him in high school on your high school team?
You wouldn't
team?
Face him. You would face his ass as he backed into you and then jammed on your head.
I think he was 96-6 in high school. Is that right, Kareem?
Yeah, that was about what we did. We had a 72-game streak there.
We have a quick, one more quick question for Kareem. Josh?
Hey, what's up?
Quickly for Kareem. He's almost out of time.
Yeah, so love you guys. Trees don't have your babies, but Kareem, do you think Kobe Bryant is as good as Michael Jordan?
That's tough. Kobe could make difficult shots from anywhere on the court, just like Michael could. I think, Michael had a different approach in that he worked with the other guys in a different way.
Mm. Yeah.
But, Kobe is one of the best finishers I've ever seen step on the court. There's no question about that.
But Jordan, maybe a little more fire in the belly. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I know you're running late and you need to talk to other folks about On the Shoulders of Giants, available now in bookstores everywhere.
Find out about it. Go to www.osgmovie.com. You can find out all about the project. You can download music. Herbie Hancock did the music. You can get snippets from the different people that we talked to, Louis Gossett Jr., Samuel Jackson, Billy Crystal, Bob Costas. It's a very interesting website, and I'm sure you'll enjoy what you hear. www.osgmovie.com.
Thanks, Kareem.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk soon. What a legend.
I know. My mom went to UCLA when he was a freshman, when he was Lou Alcindor, and she said he was just as sweet and as shy as he could be and a good student.
Yeah. And you think about sticking out from a crowd, you know, if you are, I mean, seriously, I know the height thing is very interesting because if you're Johnny Depp, you are 5'9 and 145 pounds. You are the exact build of 90% of the people on the planet.
Sure, you blend.
You put on a jacket and some sunglasses and you can go out. Or if you want to pop a helmet on and go ride your motorcycle around town, no problemo.
Same with George Clooney.
If you're Kareem, you got to hang your head out of the sunroof of your LTD and drive around. And wearing the Lakers warm-up suit probably everywhere, probably not a great plan. But when you're literally head and shoulders, when there's a whole crowd of people waiting for a subway train to pull up and your head is 2 feet above, then it doesn't matter who you are.
People
you're going to get noticed.
Staring. Right.
Take the athletic goggles off.
Too. That's right. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we need your help. I've said that Cassius Clay was a great name before he became Muhammad Ali, and Lou Alcindor was a great name before he became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Give us some folks. Now, those are guys who shouldn't have changed your names. Go ahead and embrace the Muslim faith, but keep the old name. Cassius.
Had a cool name.
Luau. Cassius Carolla? Hell no, Allah. Hell to the no. That's what I would say to Allah. But then you think about NASCAR great Dick Trickle or gymnast Mitch Gaylord.
Both of them should become Muslim just to change the name.
That's what I'm saying.
A gymnast with gay right in the name?
Dick Van Dyke.
What about Greg Louganis?
Oh, Gaylord Perry. Come on. Come on, people. Who should get their name changed? I'll give you some. And we'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show. And here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Guy Dudum.
Check, check, check. Time's up. Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins. Today, we'll change it up and do a little Movie Tuesday. Teresa tells us about shopping for a wedding ring. And an interview with UFC fighter Matt Hughes. Oh, what a coincidence. Jack Mann also does a little UFC under the name Jack Huge. Only the F doesn't stand for fighting. It stands for f***ing. Fight.
Thanks, Guy. It's 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just talking to Kareem, it's something I thought about a while back. Kareem, again, change your name. Go with the Muslim name if you have a crappy name. You know what it struck me? Cat Stevens. Ramsey Youssef or whoever the
Youssef Islam.
Youssef. Right. I'm always scared that it's like it's either the singer-songwriter, one of the guys who flew the plane into the South Tower.
Yeah, you don't want to mess that up.
Yeah, because Ramsey Youssef is one of those guys, whereas Youssef Islam. Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, come on, people. What do you expect? I never knew we'd turn into this sort of world party. I thought I'd grow up. First off, there's no way I could account for the crazy black names, and there's no way I can account for the crazy Muslim names, and there's no way I can account for the crazy world names. Mm. You know what I mean? I grew up, our president was named Richard Nixon. That was it.
Easy.
And crazy black names were guys named Earl. That was a crazy black name when I grew up. Hey, it's Earl.
Cleveland.
And Cleveland. And that was it. And as far as world leaders, F them. Who cares? We didn't have to figure out any of those Boutros Ghalis or those. I can't even think of most of them. They're just crazy mouthful names. We didn't have that.
There were simpler times.
That's right. Barely had any Jews.
Well, that helped.
It certainly did. Or they had the decency to change their name.
Oh, we always changed our names back then.
Right. Now everyone's got their own crazy name and three and four at a time, and I can't keep track anymore. But I was thinking about Cat Stevens. Now, there's a name. You can't go wrong. Cat Stevens, great name, but he goes with the crazy Muslim name. And then I start thinking about Kareem, and I start thinking about Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. These are guys who should have kept their name. Embrace the religion, lose the name. But guys, it shouldn't the aforementioned Dick Trickle. It'd be great to have a guy in NASCAR who embraced the Muslim faith.
Can you
that'd go over huge in the South.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. decides to change.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Gaylord Perry, Dick Sargent. Dick Sargent, one of the first Darrens from Bewitched. Dick Sargent, not only sounds like you're in the penis army, but low ranking.
Yeah.
In the penis army. I wouldn't be like, you know, the Dick General or something like that. All right.
How about this one? The Patriots have a, I was watching the game, Patriots have a cornerback named Randall Gay.
Right.
Worst selling jersey in the NFL.
Sure. Randy
because
Gay.
Because it's just R gay.
It's just gay.
Yeah, and then Randy is a gay term for horny, too, right. Which makes it even worse if you think about it. So if you're Randy Gay, it's like, gay. Yeah, no kidding. Conway Twitty, the Foo Fighters, the guitar players also play the guitar with a lot of guys. Pat Smear. Do you know that guy?
No.
Yeah. He's a real guy. He's a great guitar player. He sits in with like he's like everybody's you know what he's like? He's like what Billy Preston was to the keyboards back in the 60s and 70s, meaning he's not in the Beatles, but he'll sit in with the Beatles and make the Beatles that much better, and then he'll go play with somebody else.
Toured with Nirvana.
Toured with Nirvana.
Pat Smear.
Yeah, like when you watch the Nirvana, when you watch that Unplugged stuff,
He'll
be the weird sort of Indian guy sitting off to the side playing. The nicest guy on the planet. Great guy. I've hung out with him. But that is his name. All right.
Mr.
So
Smear.
Let's also, I won't just limit this to the human realm. How about the animal kingdom? How about the dung beetle? They should change their name.
I think, aren't they called that because they sit around in dung?
No, they roll a huge ball of hippo flop until it makes a softball size. I mean, look, it's one thing for you to step in some dog crap. Imagine you rolling your life is spent rolling around a ball of flop that is two stories. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, relative to your size.
Of course they're going to call you that, but I'm just saying they ought to embrace the Muslim faith. How about the sperm whale?
Yeah,
they could use a makeup.
It's weird.
Where the hell did we even get sperm whale? And he said, I don't know, drunken sailors.
Well, and also, what are the sailors called?
Right. Oh. Semen. Right. Yeah. Get the semen together with the sperm whale. You got yourself a Petri dish. What is up with that? I don't know who even thought of that. It's obviously something we've all lived with our entire lives. Oh, there's a blue whale and a gray whale. There's a sperm whale. But you maybe got a chuckle out of you the first time you heard it. But it is kind of weird, the sperm whale.
It is.
Good decision to change his name. You guys don't know Michael Shalhoub, but you definitely know Omar Sharif, actor from Lawrence of Arabia.
That's right.
Good decision.
Here's some ones. Philip Clapp, Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Ralph Lipschitz.
Oh, I know that. Ralph Lauren.
Right.
I know all the Jews. Hit me.
Hugh Anthony Gregg. Huey Lewis.
Oh.
Saul Hudson.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Slash, that's right.
Good.
Now, here's one I would have kept and, ironically, was on the flight with me heading out to Phoenix with his wife and child on Monday, or I should say Sunday night. Luis Upchurch.
I think, I know Louis Farrakhan changed his name. That's probably not the same guy.
Nope, Lou Diamond Phillips. I think I was on the flight with Farrakhan. Farrakhan's going to Phoenix. He's going to protest the Super Bowl. He wants to get a head start.
Were you in the first class section to Hymietown?
I had a layover in Hymietown.
to be fair, that was Jesse Jackson.
John Leibowitz. Here's a guy I know, and I forgot about John Leibowitz. John Stewart, yeah. That's right. Paul Hewson.
Oh, I know who that is.
Bono. That's right. Reginald Dwight.
Is Elton John.
Elton John. Albert Einstein.
Is Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
And last but not least.
Brother of Super Dave.
That's right. Farouk Balsara. Freddie Mercury. Everybody. Ah. All right, folks that should change their name or should have embraced Islam many years ago. Joseph?
You.
Who should have embraced Islam, thus changing their name?
The great football hero from Chicago, Dick Butkus.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard Dick Butkus's name when I was 8, and I was like, get out of town. Get out of here. My neighbor's like, there's a dude, not only a guy, but one of the premier players in the NFL named Dick Butkus. I was like, take your Kool-Aid and your chopperoo and get the F off of my lawn. I may be 9, but I ain't buying that. There's nobody named Dick Butkus. Nobody. All right. Now Travis says this person ought to change your name. I think it's just the opposite. Travis?
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with the Olympian female speed skater named Peekaboo Street.
Downhill skier, I do believe. But Peekaboo Street is one of the greatest names of all time. Peekaboo Street?
I love that name. You wouldn't remember her if her name was, you know, Mary Smith.
Right. We barely know Nancy Kerrigan. Hey, Travis?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to reject that and you.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Dick Van Dyke, yeah, that was already on our list. Here's a good one. John?
Yeah.
Who needs to embrace Islam?
We used to have a guy in Maine that was running for office here a couple of years ago. His name was Dick Sweat.
Yeah. And also, look, guys named Dick Butkus, Dick Sweat, whoever you are, Dick Trickle. You understand Richard will do fine.
Yeah.
You understand no one will fault you with going with Richard. And when your name is Richard Trickle, no problemo.
Also, be careful with the first name Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And what you put that with.
Right. Now, Harry, though, is that short for Harold?
Yeah.
So you still could go with Harold, although Harold, not a great sounding name. Here's a good one. I forgot about this one. Hey, Darius.
Hey, what's going on, Ace Man?
What's going on, Darius? Who do you have? Who should embrace Islam?
Oh, Lord, this guy, wide receiver at Florida State, he's probably good enough that he'll eventually play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Dakota Fagg.
That's right.
Two G's?
Two G's. Yeah, I bought his jersey and Board Op Bill bought Randall Gay's jersey, and we went out and had a smart cocktail Saturday night at Mr. Pfister. Hey, thanks, Darius.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, Darius, wait a minute. Are you a white guy named Darius?
I am a white guy named Darius. Go
ahead. All right, so go ahead and change your name while you're at it, too, because it's confusing.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you up here in Seattle, man.
Me, too. When am I coming?
You're coming on the 9th, actually.
The 9th of what?
The 9th of February. You're hosting Valentine's
Surprise.
Day for 107.7.
Really? All right.
Should be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, good times. I'll see you there, Darius.
Likewise, man. Have a good one.
Good times. He'll be the white guy wearing the clock around his neck. Let's see. Someone needs a new name. Dare we?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Let's try.
Look at his name.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Michael Cox?
That's me.
Yeah, so you go with Mike Cox.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, everybody called me Mike. So ever since, like, the sixth grade.
Right. You know, what's your middle name? Maybe we could just add that into the mix.
Ray.
Oh, that's serial killer. Mike Ray Cox?
Yeah.
I've heard you go on that rant.
Yeah, that's bad times. And Ray, I mean, the middle name is serial killer enough, but Ray guarantees it.
Do you think your parents ever reviewed this before they named you?
No, they always assume that people will call me Michael.
Just go with Mickey.
Yeah. I must say, you don't review things as a parent. I mean it. I've railed about it my entire life. And then you know what happened to me? I named my son Santino. My wife wanted to name him Sonny, like in The Godfather. Yeah. And she's Italian and I'm Italian. So Sonny Corolla sounds like a good name. And then she said, well, can I have the middle name, too? And I said, yeah, knock yourself out. And she said, I want to name him after my father. That's what we would do in our family. And I said, all right. What's your dad's name? I've only known you for 12 years. She said, Richard. I said, all right. So, Santino, Richard Corolla. Sounds good. But then Jimmy pointed out, Sonny Dick.
Yeah, or worse for you, Sonny D.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been calling Sonny D Nectar of the Tards for 20 years, and that's my kid's initials now.
Sweet irony.
So that part where parents should do more and get more involved, we don't. We're dumb. We miss it. It's too close to home. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Sonny T?
Yes.
What do you got coming up in the news?
Speaking of questionable parenting... Get out of my face! Trouble in Spearsville.
Good times. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. All the news next.
Go
Adam, Teresa, and Brian will play some clips from what they think are very underrated comedies.
Hey, how about Fletch?
And very overrated comedies.
Well, what can I say about Fletch?
From the UFC, we welcome Matt Hughes. We'll hear how Teresa's ring shopping went and spend some time breaking down the candidates for the upcoming presidential election. Teresa Strasser has the news.
Who cares?
And we'll talk to you at 866-901-ADAM. Broadcasting live coast to coast and streaming the world at adamcarolla.com. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, baby, this is what I missed most when I was gone yesterday. Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
The 2008 presidential candidates are facing off in the Michigan primary today, but who cares? Because Britney Spears is still acting a fool. Let's get right to it. She did not attend her child custody hearing yesterday. She did make it as far as the courthouse building, but she never actually went inside. Britney arrived in an Escalade with the hearing already in progress. She met with two of her attorneys. The attorneys went to the hearing, and she apparently was not interested in attending. Kevin Federline did attend. We do know that after the hearing, she went to church with her new paparazzi boyfriend. They went to the Little Brown Church in Van Nuys, California.
Yeah, they just had a drive-through put in, so get a chimichanga burrito and drive-through and say a few. That's what I need. I think I would start going to church if there was a drive-through. You just drive through and you throw a couple of Hail Marys and you toss a little change in the bucket and you keep going. And then you say, I went to church on Sunday. What'd you do? I went to church.
Yeah.
Sunday, yeah.
And every meal is a happy.
Yeah. I went on Sunday and actually I went on Tuesday and Thursday last week. I got peckish. For the Lord, I mean.
Well, Brittany got peckish first for the Lord and then for some Argentinian food. Mm. She and her entourage went to the Gaucho Grill in Studio City.
Ah, I love that Gaucho Grill.
You know what it sounds like when Britney goes there?
Hmm.
A little like this.
Back up. Yeah, you hear back up a lot. You never hear sideways or forwards. Oh, always backing up. Yeah, that's a good place. They throw the steak. I know you don't like the meat.
No,
and
I'm
secretly
a
you judge us meat eaters.
I really
know what
don't.
Goes on.
I don't. It's a right. personal choice.
Now it's getting worse because you're condescending and you're judging.
Honestly, I could sit and watch Batman eat a rare steak, which he grills almost nightly, mm-hmm. and it doesn't gross me out at all, and I don't judge him.
Yeah, because that Gaucho Grill boy, they toss that steak right on the open flame, and then you get the mashed potatoes and the vegetables, and you know we're carnivores. Yeah, Brittany's out of control, but I like it. I like it because it means we don't have any real problems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was the lead story on the news last night and this morning.
Yeah, you turn on 60 Minutes over the weekend, you see four-year-olds being gang raped in the Congo, and you go, there's a place with some trouble.
That's big trouble.
They don't have Britney news over there.
Nope.
Here's the deal. You got to look at it this way. When Britney leads the news, we don't have any trouble.
We should celebrate every time it's about Britney.
Or it'd be like a factory where there's a sign up that says 283 days since last accident. If you turn on the evening news and you hear Britney Spears, that means no terrorist attacks, the stock market didn't collapse, the president is still alive. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If every single news from now until the rest of eternity led with a Britney Spears story, we'd be in great shape. Because on 9/11, I guarantee Britney didn't lead the news.
No. Now, Britney will not be able to see
that
her
was
kids.
Lindsay Lohan, and then 9/11, and then Britney, and then more Lohan, and then a sprinkling of 9/11, and then
more Britney.
Right.
Commissioner Scott Gordon ruled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott Gordon ruled that a January 4th emergency order suspending her visitation rights and giving custody to Federline would remain in effect. Another hearing will be scheduled for February 19th. Until that time, Britney Spears may not see her children.
She needs to start a new batch. These ones were duds. It didn't work out. Cut bait. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you mean these two little boys just move on.
Guys do it all the time. You know, here's what happens. You grow up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And you have a wife, and she was your high school sweetheart. She's 9 months older than you are, and you knock her up, and you have a couple of kids, and your job goes crappy, and everything's going crappy. And the kids are, you know, you got 1 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. And all of a sudden, you go on some sort of work-related whatever, and you meet some hot piece of ass in Florida, and you just pick up and relocate. And now what do? Well, you charter fishing ships out of Boca Raton. You have a hot piece of younger ass, and she knock out a few kids with her. Guys do it all the time. Your chicks ought to do it. Brittany, I think she may be on the vanguard of this for women. She's leading the movement of women abandoning their kids.
She's
like that.
She's a pioneer in the field of abandonment.
Well, it's a big deal. Meanwhile, let's not forget the world's greatest dad with a faux hawk has a couple of kids from a prior engagement he had with a chick he was on top of. No big deal for him to move on to Brittany, right? I mean, you remember when Federline was moving on to Britney, there was a little talk like, hey, he has a couple of kids with Shar Jackson.
I think she was pregnant at the time, if I'm not mistaken, with the second kid.
Right.
Shar Jackson.
But guys do that, right? We're used to it. Brit ought to just take a page out of Federline's book.
And just leave Jaden James and Sean Preston with K-Fed and move on and do a do-over.
That's right, a takey. Shake that vaginal Etch-A-Sketch and start anew, my dear.
You know what's starting anew tonight? American Idol.
Vaginal Etch-A-Sketch. Worst present to get my nephews or greatest gift ever?
I'd say it's appropriate for ages 9 and up.
Okay.
I don't know how old they are.
All right. Casper, you're getting a gift from Uncle Adam.
Casper's a cute name.
Yeah. It wasn't 10 years ago.
No, but now it's cool.
Now it's cool.
American Idol's always been a juggernaut. But imagine now with the writer's strike. Everyone's got the empty TiVo syndrome.
I don't know. I don't know about America. You know what I say about American Idol?
What?
I say juggernaut. Good one. Good one, Ace Man.
Can I use that?
You can use that one. You want to use it?
Could I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Jugger?
Not.
Well, a lot of people talk about.
And then you go, and then the next to follow up, you go, no, seriously, I think American Idol is awesome. Aw, sometimes it's good, and aw, sometimes it sucks. Not. Let's try that again. Hey, that American Idol is a juggernaut. There you go.
When we were kids, my brother would say, Teresa, you're pretty. Ugly.
Not. And then she vomited into a trash can.
Well, I don't want to digest lunch.
Interested.
Do I? All right. Is Simon Cowell mean? He's often accused of being mean. And so he addressed this on Access Hollywood.
I haven't been drowning kittens for 7 years. I've just been telling a few people who are useless singers, you're a useless singer.
Singer.
Yeah.
I haven't been drowning kittens. He's turning to David Niven's now. I haven't been drowning kittens. I've just been telling a few useless yanks. You're an awful singer.
Not interested.
Oh, I've said it once. I've said it again. Simon Cowell, you should kiss Randy Jackson's feet and what's her nose's, Paul Abdul's feet every time they walk into the studio. You are between two world-class knobs, and thus your 5.5 is a 10. That's all. That's all it is, everybody. It's who's next to you.
That's why you keep me and Brian here.
That's right.
Now you seem sharp.
It makes me a 10 between you two blockheads. No, seriously. If you're a chick and you're a 6, just a solid 6, but you're a 6. Let's upgrade you to a 60.
Thanks.
Let's say you're a solid 6.
Okay.
And you're standing in between a couple of 2.5s. You're a 9. You just are.
Well, I often would say when I was a writer in the writer's room, I was Cindy Crawford.
Right.
There was no girls in there.
And you wedge yourself between Elle McPherson and Cindy Crawford, and that 6 goes down to a -2.
It's actually in the negatives.
That's how it works. Yes, you owe looks. If your kid was a 9, I'd have to knock him down to 7. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the deficit.
Right. Now, when you're Simon Cowell and you're between somebody who's strung out on Xanax and literally having difficulty stringing a sentence together, and Randy, who's a nice guy and a great guy, but he's no verbal magician. I mean, that guy basically says, hey, dog, hey, where's my dog pound? Which Arsenio started in 1986. Where's my dog pound? And then about the best he does was, I don't know, I wasn't feeling it. It was all right. Well, then you are the world's most clever man between those two doorknobs.
Well, occasionally he accuses somebody of being pitchy. Let's not forget that that's in his...
True. I don't know, dog. You're a little bit pitchy. As a matter of fact, what do we even need them there for? Couldn't you just sit there and put a... how about you just put a cigar store Indian there and you hook a little speaker up to its mouth and it says, I don't know, dog, it was a little pitchy. And then the next one comes up and says, I wasn't feeling it. And then the other one says, let's hear it from the dog pound. Would you be covered with Randy Jackson?
Yeah, pretty much.
You could be done, right?
Virtual Randy Jackson.
Right.
We should put that together this year.
All right.
Well, as tonight is... anticipation builds for the seventh season of Idol, Chris Daughtry will not be watching. He's joined the growing list of people who break free from their Idol roots, become successful, and then backstab the show that provided them with what would have been their only avenue to fame. Chris Daughtry is saying, quote, I feel like it's definitely lacking some credibility at this point. It's in a state of decline. If they don't do something about it, it's probably not going to last too much longer. I'm sure that'll be used against me, but that's the truth, you know? And he says this. You might agree, actually. People get tired of seeing people that suck. It's funny at first, but come on. They spend 3 weeks on people that can't sing, and that's what they're banking it on.
Wrong!
Brian and I disagree. He loves the opening few weeks of the auditions of the bad singers. I think it starts when it gets to the final 10.
Okay, let me say a few things before I yell at Brian, call him stupid, and tell him to shut up. This is an open forum. I get accused a lot of times of you guys kissing my ass. Oh, Adam only surrounds himself with people who agrees with him. Have I ever, other than making a compelling argument and whatever comes along with me, being technically maybe your boss and whatever intimidation you feel because of that, I would argue self-imposed intimidation. Have I ever pulled you aside, bald Brian, Teresa, and said, Day, don't disagree with me on the air, or you know how the game is played, or ever got into it with you off the air, made you feel in any way, shape, or form that you couldn't disagree with the thought I had?
Can I have a moment to answer this thoughtfully?
Please.
You've done nothing but ask me to speak more. And you've done nothing but encourage and support me. I might cry.
I am going to get angry here because, Teddy, get in here for a second. Phone screener Teddy. It happens once in a while that people say, of course Adam sets these calls up, or he screens out these calls, or instructs Teddy, or he has his yes men around him. And none of that could be further from the truth. I've never told our phone screener what calls to take. As a matter of fact, the more negative, the faster they get on the air, number one. And as far as Bald Brian and Teresa go, I've only ever said speak more and speak your mind. And if you disagree, so be it. Teddy?
No, I've never been instructed as to...
I didn't even know your name for the first 9 months you answered the phone. You're a creepy guy with the big hair.
I'm surprised you know my name now.
Now he places the lotion.
Now, Teddy, don't you notice when you put up a full bank of calls and you type in a brief description of the call, generally if it's an ass-kissing call, Adam does not go to it. He goes right to the call that is going to be insulting him or challenging him.
Now, we usually save the ass-kiss rodeo for later in the calls.
Right. So here it is, everybody. I'm not saying I'm a saint, but being accused of taking certain calls, or when we do what can't Adam complain about, or something else that I'm jagging on or riffing. Have we ever had a discussion if I ever said I want these kind of calls or to get rid of that call?
Not once, no.
Has okay. Adam ever spoken to you just conversationally?
We have spoken, but not directly about the content of the show.
What was your talk about? This is going to be good.
Well, actually, we first time we had a real conversation was last week when we went to lunch.
Adam took us all out to Cantor's Deli mm-hmm. for some bonding.
Mm-hmm. Teddy and I had a real conversation for a moment.
About cars or sports?
About pastrami on rye.
That's right. Then I took a rape shower and went home because who ordered the goddamn pastrami on either white or sourdough?
It was Chaffee on white.
Oh, Mike no. Chaffee, super guy. Jesus Christ. That's an insult, by the way. I buy you $9 worth of...
you told us we couldn't spend over $6.
I buy you. Listen, I don't need a bunch of people loading up. I don't need a bunch of freeloaders carb loading on my dime. I didn't get rich by buying everyone $11 lunches once a year. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and everybody was sure to finish theirs because you announced that you'd be taking the leftovers.
Well, that's the way I roll, T. You know how the game is played. I'm buying you a free lunch. What's the big deal? Yeah, Mike Chaffee, super goy over here, gets a pastrami or corned beef sandwich. Either way, it's a effing travesty.
I'm a nerd.
And, I mean, it's corned beef on rye, it's pastrami on rye. There's nothing better than that kind of deli food. He's asking the waitress if he can have sourdough.
Wow.
Wow.
That's an attack on the Jews.
Mm. All right, I'm sorry. Where were we? What was I complaining about? Yes, you speak your mind on this show, and if you disagree with me, fine.
We had an entire conversation about waterboarding. We disagreed entirely, and I felt like you let me speak my mind, and you were respectful.
I know, and there's once in a while I check the message board, and it's like, well, of course T has to agree with Ace because she knows what'll happen if she doesn't. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, are you high? I love it when people disagree with me. I get to yell how stupid they are.
If you untie me, I can look at my news notes and continue.
All right, so the thing we disagree on involved Brian.
The bad singer auditions that go on and on.
Yes, because here's how I've broken them up into two classes. There is the bad singer that knows it's a bad singer and is thus putting us on, a.k.a. Don't Tase Me, Bro.
Right.
Which now our YouTube society has spawned millions of these people. They understand. They're performance artists. They're out there in crazy outfits and they're doing it horribly. So, a guy who's doing it on purpose, which I don't like. I feel like I'm being taken for a ride. Or B, mentally handicapped person who's 26 and should have gave up that dream 10 years ago, clinging to it. Either way, it's bad karaoke night. And if Seacrest was super funny or Paula was super sharp or Randy was super quick with the jabs, then that's fine. But they're not, and they're just drinking Diet Cokes on a folding table in front of the same crappy singers we saw for the last 5 years. What's compelling about it? I understand later on when you can pick your horse. Then you're like, oh, man, that guy had a cleft palate growing up, and now look what he's doing. I dig him. Or that chick's hot. I'm for her. Or that chick was abused and abandoned as a child. Now look at the chops she has.
Well, what's fun about picking a horse in a pop singing competition? None of these people are interesting.
Well,
and
what's fun about picking a team in a football game?
And what's...
At least
really?
The competition is the best in the world.
These singers are excellent.
Oh, fair.
The last 10, except for your occasional Sanjaya or Kevin Kovaeus, the singers are very good. Look how well they've done. Carrie Underwood, Kelly Pickler, Chris Daughtry. Mm. These are good singers.
Yeah.
What's her name? The first one, Kelly Clarkson?
Sanjaya and Kevin Kovaeus are coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
apologize
to them. Yeah. Mike August is on top of his booking game.
I will say this, too, about the early shows where they do nothing but show horrible singers. I believe that many of them are mildly autistic.
Yes.
And thus, they can't gauge the affect of their audience.
Yes, they at least have a mild Asperger's syndrome. So I just think, look, I'm with you, or I'm agreeing with everyone in that it's a pick your poison. Now, look, when it gets down to the final four, it just here's human nature. Here's what I want to say. As far as the horrible singing competition, what's compelling about that? If you came down to two people and they were going to toss a coin and it was a game show called Heads or Tails and the winner got $1 million, I would watch just based on somebody here is going to win $1 million.
Yeah, you just described Deal or No Deal.
Right. That's right. All right. Hold on. Jennifer has something to say. Jennifer?
Yes?
You want to address something?
I do, Adam. I think you're a great guy, but I think you have a mixed public image.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Funny, hilarious, great bits, really organic content, but you fire everybody on your show.
Jennifer, I'm still here.
You know what? It's because of a
affirmative
action.
I heard a ghost talking. Who was that?
I'm calling in from the cornfield.
Mm. That'd be a good name for a young black chow.
Affirmative action.
You'd have to make it into one name. But if the last name was Jackson, it would be awesome.
Adam, you got to wonder.
Hey, little affirmative action
you
Jackson.
Fire people. I'm just joking around. But why do you fire people all the time? What's up with that?
Well, first off, I have not been responsible for 85% of the firing that goes on around here. I hope you know that.
Or hiring.
Yeah.
So the producers, what's their buckets? The two guys from before?
Yeah.
Those guys, Dave Damashek and the other guy.
Right.
They got fired, and then Danny sort of hit the road. So for whatever reason, and nobody knows the inner workings of your station, it just seems like you get with somebody.
Hold on. That's another thing. I feel like I'm pretty much an open book. I explain to everybody what happened and what just happened and how it goes. I try not to insult my bosses too much, although it's difficult. But I explain everything. I explain that Danny was not a good fit for this show, and thus I tried to get him removed from this show. And as far as everyone else who was on this show, I tried to keep them on this show.
Yeah, but I don't know. The whole jerk store thing that What's-His-Name did was so stupid, and that was just a bad mix. So then you have to wonder, do you bring
jerk
on...
You mean the jerk list? Dave,
hold on.
Damashek's jerk list?
Jerk store, worst mall store on the planet.
I know.
No, worse than airport. Honey? Oh, you're going...
gotta go to the jerk store.
So, yeah, you want me to go to the mall with you? I don't think so. The Bray Hills one has a jerk store. I'm there.
Is that a jerk chain?
Yes.
So
hey,
you
Jennifer?
Have to wonder, do you hire weak people then, just to kind of keep proving your point that you're so smart?
Hey, Jennifer?
Yes?
First off, let me say this. I hate your tone. I know
the
what
good news is you're fired.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to subtly insult me, but you're getting no traction.
She's also insulting me by calling me a token, Jennifer. Do you think I'm really just here because I'm female?
I don't think you get in the way.
Jennifer, I will guarantee you
my
this.
My job is to stay out of the way in some cases.
Teresa is twice as smart, 10 times as funny as anyone you know, especially the bitch you see looking back at you in the mirror every morning.
Yet it does not translate on the radio. Why is that, Adam?
Why? Oh, I think many would beg to differ with that.
Give her a little more airtime. Let her get in there a bit. So, you know, maybe she would, and she's afraid to get fired.
Well, wait a minute.
Am I stupid and bad,
Jennifer,
or do I not get enough airtime? Which is it?
I think Teresa's really funny. I think she's witty and sweet. She has a really nice sort of sensibility about her. But I think you kind of squash her every once in a while. You interrupt her constantly. You're constantly knocking her out of the way.
Right. So I don't let her finish her thoughts.
Not often.
The news
goes unreported a lot.
What? Hey, Jennifer.
Huh? Yeah?
I pray you're not an attorney.
Kind of.
What do you do?
I'm an attorney.
No way.
Yeah, I am.
No, but you represent like livestock or something, not human beings, right? I couldn't imagine you arguing on my behalf.
I'm an IP attorney.
What's an
intellectual property?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So you deal with ideas and things like that.
Yeah. I'd be the guy protecting you if I thought you had something unique and ownable.
Right.
Trademark and copyright, all that.
All right. Yeah. I can see you dealing with that, not human beings, because that would be an abortion. All right, baby girl. Well, I can tell you have a couple of brain cells to rub together because you have that super condescending Ann Coulter sing-songy tone that drives everyone nuts in your life, except for they don't say anything to you.
No.
But I will tell you what people have been secretly thinking and talking about behind your back for many years, and it's why you don't have very many female friends. Or if you do, they're not real friends.
Let's have it.
You have a condescending, sing-songy tone that drives everyone nuts.
Really?
There you go again.
I think it's just my sunny disposition and genuine interest in what you have to say.
Sunny disposition would be a good porn name. I would like to see a little black and white porn when Affirmative Action Jackson got together with Sunny Disposition. What's that? I don't like... Well, I'm not sure what you have to say, you know, because 5 minutes ago it seemed like you weren't a fan of Teresa's. Now it sounds like you're her biggest fan, and sometimes you're accusing me of firing people I never fired on the show, and you're accusing me of being insecure.
It's not that complicated. I think you fire people that you don't like or that kind of get in your way. Teresa stays out of your way. She's smart and talented, and that's kind of your program. That's okay.
Wouldn't you want to work with somebody smart and talented if you were representing somebody in court? Wouldn't you want to work with a fellow attorney who you felt was capable?
Yeah, I might be afraid they'd outshine me. I might be insecure and I might want to stay on top.
Adam's a lot of things, but he is not insecure.
Really? How do you know I'm not insecure?
You're very confident about this.
So who's next? Is it Bald Brian? Is he the new third guy? Or what's the plan?
Jennifer's tough. You got to give her that.
Can I put Jennifer down as a reference?
Yes. Well, the plan, Truth be known, is I've always encouraged Teresa Strasser to talk more on this show.
That's true.
And Bald Brian, I know your microphone's falling apart now, but
it's literally, we got a tech guy screwing back in his microphone.
Ever since this conversation started, Adam had my microphone to say.
But Brian, we have spoken about you talking on this show as well. What did I say?
He said speak up.
Well, there you go, Jennifer.
Feel free.
So I guess it'll
nervous
be
nervous little person. Don't worry.
Huh? What?
Who? What?
Huh? You said, Brian, you nervous little person. Don't worry.
Okay.
Right. That's good stuff, baby. All right. Go back to protecting people's bad ideas, please.
Thank you for that.
All right.
She was all over the map.
Look, everyone, call in, make a point. Fine. But here's the good. Here's the way I feel. I feel I have the truth on my side. I really do. I know it, maybe I sound like an arrogant, self-righteous prick at this point, but I've been straight up with Teresa, I've been straight up with Brian, I've been straight up with everyone. And when you don't lie, well, guess what? You don't get caught in lies. You don't have to keep track of your lies. I'm telling you people exactly what's going on. And yes, in a way, the show has to evolve and almost not start from zero, but start from three or four, because we've had so many different people come in and out of here. That's what we're trying to find right now.
May I make a point quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Although you're making that, like, neck slashing sign like you do whenever I start talking.
Right. And let me say this. Remember how I gave you 27 words a morning?
Per morning.
Yeah,
I've exceeded it.
You're at 19.
Here's what I want to say to Jennifer. You have to look at a person's track record. Adam, you worked with Dr. Drew, who I believe is not only incredibly talented, but obviously a mensch. You had a partnership with him that was about 10 years, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you worked with Jimmy Kimmel, who's obviously very talented and has his own late night show. I don't think you were afraid of being outshined.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't mind wearing different hats. When I worked with Dr. Drew, I was the lead man. When I worked with Dr. Drew, I said the show title, I threw it to commercial break, I welcomed us back after, on and off TV. I interviewed the guest. I was the lead guy, and Dr. Drew was sort of sidekick Dr. Drew. He spoke plenty, but I was sort of the lead guy. When I did the man show, Jimmy was sort of the lead guy, maybe more of a 55-45 split, but Jimmy would do 10%, 15% more talking than I would. That's fine. I like that role, too. So I'm good either way.
That's right, Jennifer.
All right, bitch. We'll take ourselves a break. Now we have a bunch of callers wanting to defend Teresa Strasser. T, you got the rest of the news, too? We got a little sidetrack there.
I know. I have possibly the best, definitely not a Jew, that I've ever heard.
Oh, really? All right, we'll do the rest of the news. Mike and
Trick.
No, Trick's got a stupid question. Trick wants to know if Teddy was paid to say that I don't screen any of the calls. I don't think Teddy's capable of pulling that off.
He also doesn't get paid at all.
I really
you are
don't.
So suspicious.
I feel like if I pulled Teddy aside and went, like, listen, Teddy, here's $20. When you come on the air, I need you to say that I don't screen any of these calls. And then I bring him on the air and I'd be, Teddy, go ahead and tell the audience. Is it true? Do I screen these calls or not? There'd be a 15 Mississippi, and then he'd just yell the N-word and run. We'll take a break. Hang on, Mike. You can blow a little sunshine up TSV, and we'll do the rest of the news next.
I got fired for going to TeresaStrasser.com. I just had to know what she looked like, man. I had to put a face to that voice. And yeah, let me just say, it was well worth it. Well worth it. Right on. Right on. Have a good one.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, he'll be waiting in the back seat of your car, and he'll pop up, and you'll see him in the rear view. Remember when scary movies used to do that?
Yeah.
All you had to do to make a scary movie is break into some chick's car, and then when she was driving, at some point, you would pop up, and there she'd see in the rear, and then there'd be the music sting. I feel like I would know it if someone was in the back seat of my car when I got into my car.
I do look back there. Get in.
Well, it's hard not to, because three-quarters of the time you're coming that direction. The car pulled into the parking spot. As you walk in, there are things called windows. Anyway, let's talk to someone who loves tea, and then we'll move forward with the news. Mike?
Hello?
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening?
Hey, I think Teresa's hilarious. The hell with that bitch that was just, you know, I didn't even catch her name, but the hell with her.
I agree. Teresa is super funny, or let's just put it this way. I defy you people to find somebody funnier, a female funnier than Teresa Strasser for $287 a week. Huh? I didn't think so.
Thanks, Mike. And for the record, I didn't think Jennifer was a bitch. I thought her points were a bit convoluted. But in the end, I think what she said was she wants to hear more of me. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, convoluted meets condescending. All right, T, let's move forward with the rest of the news.
Hard to bounce back, but I'll try, because this is possibly the greatest, definitely not a Jew ever. 56-year-old Robert Colson Lavery of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is not a master criminal. Here's what he did. Last week, he was convicted of robbing $7,910 from the New Cumberland Federal Credit Union in Fairview Township, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. That robbery was back in November of 06. Here was Robert's master plan. He'd bust into the place, demand money, and to make sure they couldn't ID him, he'd cover himself in a coat of drywall compound as a disguise.
Mud, joint compound.
Right.
Yeah.
So he covered himself in this joint compound. He robbed the credit union, and then he had his friend drive him away in his black Chevy Malibu.
That stuff basically is just a white paste. Would be nice talking to some of the people that worked at the place. What happened? Well, there was a guy came in here. Now, he was covered in, well, I didn't know pigeons got that big. But somebody, something, maybe it's one of them pterodactyl pigeons or something, but this man, you know, sometimes you get drop-ins on your windshield and it's like, sure. Wow, man, that's the size of a softball. What was it? This guy was covered head to toe in pigeon flop. Well, and he didn't have the good sense to wipe it off before he robbed it.
Here's what undid his brilliant plan.
A Mexican ran up and sanded him.
No. He had a friend drive him away in his black Chevy Malibu.
As he hit him with a sanding pad.
The cops were able to figure out whose car it was thanks to the car's custom-made NASCAR license plate featuring Rusty Wallace. So first he's covered in drywall, then he escapes in his Chevy Malibu with his NASCAR plate.
Definitely not a Jew.
Thirdly, mullet. Balding mullet.
Mm-hmm.
The cops busted Robert and found some cash, clothing smeared in drywall compound, and a bunch of drywall compound all over the passenger seat of the Rusty Wallace car.
Oh, that stuff, I couldn't, you know, get that stuff on you. You know what we used to do with that stuff? You could have fun with that stuff.
You could?
Yeah, we knew a guy, one of the guys that I used to work with on my crew had a kill switch. And the kill switch, just to shut the ignition off of his Ford F-150 or whatever the hell he was driving, was up underneath his dash. Obviously, it's not in plain view. You want to kill the engine. You want to hide it. So he would reach forward every day before he got in his car to go to lunch or whatever. He would reach forward blindly down underneath his steering column and flip this toggle switch. About twice a week, we'd always put a nice dollop of joint compound under there, and it'll stick and it'll stay. And then this guy would reach forward blindly and come back with a handful of joint compound. You had to make your own fun.
Sure.
You know the other good one you do?
You couldn't afford one of those rings that squirts?
No. We didn't have that or whoopee cushions or anything.
What's the other one?
Nail a guy's bags to the floor.
Oh, that's fun.
That's a good one, too. Because you
goes to pick
drop
it up.
Your tool bags down onto the wood subfloor and just pop a nail or two in it.
I have a fun story, which I think is a Germany or Florida.
You want to know the most disgusting thing they did to me?
Yeah.
When I used to work construction? I was doing earthquake rehab in downtown L.A. This is one of the most depressing jobs I've ever had in my life. I've told you about it. It was out on Normandy or Alvarado or I don't know where, and like Wilshire. It was almost downtown L.A. It was sort of almost Koreatown. And we had to rehab buildings that were condemned because they were from the 20s and 30s and they were all brick and they had subsidized housing. Oh, let me tell you about subsidized housing. It's like the projects for old nutty white people who don't bathe. And these were apartments that were built with, you know, there's no two bedroom and no penthouse and none of that bachelor, single, one bedroom, nothing. It was all just singles. was all just the one room with a Murphy bed and a kitchen and a bathroom. No living room, bedroom, whatever. And we'd have to go into every single one of these guys' units, and they were disgusting. And the guys never left, and the space heater never got turned off, and the carpet was from the 70s. And everyone was old and nuts and smelled. And by the way, that is, old gets you a smell. Nuts gets you a smell. But old and nuts and small apartment with no windows and space heater, that's super funkified air. And there was one guy that liked to do his business in a bucket.
Oh.
That was his thing. See, when you're old, you have your thing.
You got to have a thing.
One guy's thing, cutting out just the panel on the milk carton with the missing kids and stacking them as high as the ceiling, 20 rows deep. That's right. When you're old and crazy, you got to have a thing.
Just in case.
Just in case.
He might run into one of them. He has to compare the picture with the face.
Right. He's like, hey, wait a minute. I've been masturbating. Oh, Christ, I've said too much.
That's his thing, though.
One guy's thing was doing his poopy mess in a bucket. And I don't know if he was emptying a bag. I don't know what he was doing, but he used to do the bucket. And we used to have to go into his unit. And the ace man was set up in the back of this little crappy apartment building, 5 stories high, all brick. And in the back, just enough room for a clothesline. You know, those old kind of apartment buildings, just about 8-10 foot of curb there and a little clothesline. And that's where I set up, set my table saw up, set my wood up. And I would be milling away with my table saw in there doing my finish stuff. And they got that bucket and they went up to the roof. And they took the bucket and they hid the bucket right next to me by my table saw and put it, but they hid it in wood. And then they went up to the roof and they got a bunch of bolts and they went up and they all looked over the edge down at me, who couldn't hear anything because I had the table saw fired up, and they dropped bolts into the bucket. And each time a bolt got dropped into the bucket, it would disturb the bucket and make a sound like a rhino farted. I'd just be, and they'd see me looking around like, what the hell is that? And then it would kind of die down again, and then they would drop another bolt off the bucket. Now, meanwhile, I got the table saw going, and it's loud, and I got the sawdust in my face, but my nose was working just fine. And I couldn't figure out what was going on because there was no dogs around and nobody around. I couldn't figure out who kept farting every 18 seconds.
Because it wasn't a consistent stench.
No, it would dissipate. And then it would fire up again when they dropped another bolt. And the bucket was a 5-gallon bucket that you just hit about 10 feet from my table saw in some wood scraps. And they were all up on the roof. Good times. And then later on, there was a woman who was in her 90s. And her name was Millie. And she's lived at the building since the 30s. And she or they or whoever wanted to get a picture in front of the building with old Millie, who'd been there since she was like 19 and had never left. And the entire construction crew assembled in front of the building, and Millie, 90-year-old Millie, got right in the middle. And there's one guy in the crew named Fraser, who was Australian. No, he was from New Zealand, and he was nuts, and he had horrible gas. And we all gathered around, and they had the photographer and Millie in the middle, and Fraser blew a huge fart, and everyone dispersed and never came back. I never got the picture. It was like, cut cheese. It was like, one, two, no, oh, Fraser. Oh, God, Jesus. Oh, F this. You know what? Everyone get back to work. And that's what happened. We never got the picture. I would love to see the picture today with what would be 110-year-old Millie, but we never got it.
Well, I hope she's still with us and living over there in the Village of the Damned.
Oh, that was horrible. Horrible. Now, imagine spending quite a bit of your day underneath that building.
Oof.
Underneath it. 3 foot of crawl space. Digging a footing. T?
Yep.
What else in the news?
Okay. This story, I think, is worthy of a Germany or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You and Bald Brian can guess. I will leave the details sketchy. On Saturday, a man decided to throw his Christmas tree out the window. He wanted to get rid of his tree.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know how to do it or was too lazy to go about it the appropriate way. He lives in a third-story apartment, and his plan was to throw the tree out the window. Unfortunately for the guy, while he threw his tree out, he lost his balance and ended up throwing himself headfirst out of his third-story window, crashed down 22 feet straight onto the pavement. Police say the tree did not break his fall. He is now in critical condition, but where?
In the hospitals. Oh, Germany or Florida? Let's see. It feels Florida. I don't know. I have three stories, though. Doesn't feel Florida. But
I hate to agree with you, but
the tree.
The keeping the tree for so long is a very sort of white trash, southern white trash move. This mm-hmm. is January, whatever it is, 15th, 14th?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
This is not a German
We're
thing
both going Florida.
Germany.
Oh. You bitch, you're fired. Who said you could talk on my show?
Have I exceeded my 27 words
yes,
that you allot me per
yes,
segment?
Yes, you have. Yes. Would you like to bring it home?
I'm Teresa Strasser. How many words was that?
Tomorrow's news. Today.
Too many.
Teresa Strasser. QCNN.
All right. I'm gonna give Mark a choice here. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Adam, what's going on?
Here's what I'd like to do next. I know you're in the Bay Area and you miss us, right?
Yes, terribly.
Yes, I concur. I miss my Bay Area folks. But let me ask you a question. Coming up next, what would you rather we do? Would you rather get into the stuff that Teresa and Bald Brian are scared to bring up in front of me, such as Bald Brian being a Patriots fan? I'm outraged, by the way. Or Teresa liking thick crust pizza.
And Prince.
And Prince. Would you like to get into those things, those topics? Because when I was away, I hear they brought up a few topics that they were scared to bring up in front of me, and there may be other topics. And I will deal with those topics, or do you want to talk politics?
Oh, God, everyone hates politics. Go with the gossip with Teresa.
Okay. Feel like I made a much more compelling argument for that. Or do you want to talk boring politics? Boring partisan politics. Okay, so let's do that. Now, when I was gone, do we have a clip? Can we play?
The clips are over a minute long, if you want to.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hold off on those. But things like the Patriots, things like Prince, things like the crust pizza, the kind of things that drive me insane when I hear people like this. You guys think of the other things you're scared to bring up or you disagree with me on, and I will address them by shouting you down. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Carolla Show, when Adam was out, Teresa and Brian brought up some stuff that they were afraid to talk to Adam about. And now, Ace is going to let him have it on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, well, the mouse was away doing a little corporate dance over there in Arizona yesterday. I hear you kiddies did a little talking behind my back. So let's hear about, this is a clip from yesterday's show. These are topics you're scared to bring up or scared to disagree with me on because I'm so passionate about them. Let's hear the clip.
Well, Adam's not here. I mean, what's the kind of, like, I feel kind of free and liberated in a way. It's like I can reveal all these things that I'd be terrified to reveal if he was actually here. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So watching football over the weekend, the NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Patriots fan. And I'm not from New England. I only root for them because, actually, I went to high school with Tom Brady.
Oh.
So ever since he got drafted by them, I've been a huge Patriots fan.
20,000 bald nerds.
Against people who are big Patriots fans.
What's it like to keep that secret inside?
Every time he goes on and on about, the Patriots and Bill Belichick, they're going to win it all. I'm like, that's right, they are.
I have a hard time, Brian, because, you know, Adam hates the Prince.
No.
And I can't be sad when I'm hearing Little Red Corvette. This is a good song. Adam's not here. I can admit it. I can be free.
There you go. Here's one. I love thick crust pizza.
Me too.
But the reason I think we like it is because, at least for me, I'm from the Bay Area, as are you.
Yes.
And that the bread is the thing.
The bread is the thing.
That's why you're a Pats fan.
Brian,
you're from the Bay Area.
You and I need to be chubbed.
A little heavier.
You're down, what, like 60, 80 pounds?
55 pounds.
I'm down
my
like
heaviest.
35.
But,
I want the bread.
But ratio-wise, it's almost the same percentage.
Yeah, thank you.
I want the sourdough bread.
And I hope this... You guys were just supposed to play best of clips with me in it, not talk about your personal love of thick crust pizza or the Pats. Yeah, sure, you're from the Bay Area. That's why you love the Pats. Of course, you wouldn't have the 49ers over there to root for. And, of course, you do root for the 49ers, yes?
Of course.
All right, so the Pats are your second team?
You have to have a second team.
No.
For when the Niners are out.
Look, here's all... Okay, All right. Fine. I don't want to stifle you two. Let's bring the topics up and let me address them.
What if Ray had gotten drafted by the, you know what I mean, by the Chargers? You'd be a passing fan of the Chargers.
Ray is a different example. Ray was a good friend of mine who was on the football team with me. A, you were not on the football team. B, did you know Tom Brady?
I knew him a little bit.
No, you did not. Yeah. What do you think he would say if I asked him if he knew Brian, whatever your last name is? That's right. All right, let's go. This is going to be cathartic.
All right.
One more. Oh, there's one more clip. You want to hear it or no?
No.
No.
Okay.
I am more nervous to tell you this than I was to take the opposing view on waterboarding. I'm more nervous to tell you that I like cake a lot better than pie. I don't understand pie. If I'm going to eat dessert, I want cake. It's got to be chocolatey. I don't want fruit in my dessert.
Well, chicks can't do math. That's why you don't like pie. Number one, little double entendre joke. That's why I get the big bucks. Let me say this.
You mean P.I. pie?
Let me say this. Well, I don't know how to spell, but let me say this one more time about cake versus pie and thick crust versus thin crust. It's the same argument I make with heterosexual couples raising an adopted kid versus lesbian or gay couple. Everything has to be even. I like cake, too. If you want to go down to Fairfax and go to one of those Jewish bakeries and get me a $28 cake with all sorts of fresh fruit on it and stuff that... But by the way, most of the pies people like resemble cakes. They're like, oh, this is, I'm sorry, most of the cakes people like resemble pies. It's just the opposite, which is, oh, this cake is very rich and has lots of fruit and it's very creamy and it's moist. Yes, that's what a pie is. But if you want to go out and buy an expensive cake, I will enjoy that cake. I'm just saying somebody has $7 to spend. You can go to Marie Callender's and get me an apple pie, or you can go up the street to the Ralph's and get the sheet cake, which again, here's how you can pronounce it. Hold your tongue and say sheet cake, and that's exactly what it tastes like.
I'm not too intimidated to go over the rest of my life.
You want to go? You want to borrow Brian? That's all I'm saying.
I understand that you're
saying. But are you saying over $7? I have $7. Yeah. We're throwing a party.
Right.
Someone has $7. You're going cake.
I understand that cakes are overrepresented in the world of desserts.
They're only there because they hold candles. They become a substrate.
You go to Manny's Bakery and you get yourself a fruit-sweetened chocolate cake.
How much is so that? $7 good. Doesn't buy that cake.
You can get more pie for your $7 than you can get cake.
It's not even more. It's just there's someone is throwing a party. They're not going to Manny's and buying that delightful cake. You see, this argument, it's the same with the thick crust pizza. Oh, have you ever been to Gino's East?
Right.
Gino's East. You go to Chicago. I'm not going to Chicago where it's your stupid kid's birthday party and we're in Sherman Oaks. And you're getting crappy thick crust. That's my whole thing. There's good thick crust. There's good cake. It's just I'm playing the odds and saying you're not going to fly the Geno's East in to Sherman Oaks and you're not going to get the Manny's cake from wherever Teresa gets her cake. The cake hole. That'd be a good name for a
guy. I don't even have a pie hole. That's how much I don't like pie. Yeah.
All right. So now, have I made any inroads here?
You mean convincing me to like pie?
Well, convincing you that my argument is not based on what is better, but what is a more practical decision. Not what there's not a better ultimate version of.
I see your point. I do, in fact, enjoy the
cheap. Take my challenge. I have $6.95, bitch. I have $6.95. I'm either going to the Ralph's and getting something flat and white.
I have to say something now or I'll never
Go.
Say it. This is really hard. This is really, really hard. Mostly because of how much I love Lynette. Not you. You're okay. Mm-hmm. But I love your wife, Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Weird Science over the weekend.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Because she emailed me that she used to watch it every day after high school.
Every damn night?
That is the worst effing piece of crap I've ever seen.
You know what? You've lost.
You know what? I want to like it. It's awful.
You know what? This is a good thing, Teresa. This is good.
I wanted to like it. I like it.
I'm glad I learned about this.
I love your wife.
No, because now
give me the keys.
Everything you say is now null and void. Who's talking? I don't know who's talking. This is awesome. I don't have to listen to you anymore.
It didn't age well. It did not age well.
You're like one of these people. You get in an argument about something, and then you find out that they're born again Christians, and they think the earth is 1,500 years old, and you go, oh, great. I no longer have to listen to you.
I wanted to like it. What are you, they made Kelly LeBrock from their Commodore?
Dude, but what?
Come on. Bill Paxton. Oh, okay.
He was good. I'll give you that. 80s, Bill Paxton was good.
Very 80s.
I loved Fletch.
But fun. Fun and funny. Oh, Fletch. No, Weird Science is much better than Fletch. Okay, listen. $6.95.
It was an unwatchable piece of dreck.
Answer the question!
I don't
$6.95.
Like that. It's syrupy jelly in the pie.
$6.95. How about a custard? How about a coconut custard?
Is it like a chocolate cream pie?
Marie, that's pudding in a pie shell.
I'll have that.
Okay, you know what? Forget you. How about you put it in a deep crust pizza pan? And you and your friends that don't like comedy can just sit around and critique it.
I'm so sorry. I wanted to like it.
All right. You're dead to me, Brian.
Well, this is not getting any better for you. I've got a list. Baseball is not boring. The season is not too long. I enjoy it.
Not too long. What do you say? 200 games?
I watch lots of baseball. I attend many games.
You also masturbate and cry yourself to sleep every night. Anyone who watches lots of baseball has no life.
Catherine Heigl is the hottest creature on the planet.
Catherine Heigl. Look, I can defend all this. I love Catherine Heigl. I think Catherine Heigl is hot.
The volcano.
She got married. Okay, Catherine Heigl was great. Here's why Catherine Heigl was great. She was hot and approachable.
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks has been nothing but Catherine Heigl preparing for her wedding, Catherine Heigl on her honeymoon, Catherine Heigl in her wimpy, weird, faux-bearded, love balladeer, half-man, half-puss, new man and all. I didn't want to have to toss Catherine Heigl into the volcano. It needed to be done.
We could do an entire Music Monday based on bands that I love and you hate. I love INXS.
Yes, the band that sounds like it's missing three instruments. Okay, let's all listen to the band you love.
Yeah,
let's all listen.
They have three instruments and they're all awesome.
It's a wall of sound.
It's good to have a horn section, doesn't mean you can't enjoy them. On the
goddess moment. There's a party here, that is what this is. Is that what he says?
Possibly. You can
care all you want. Also, look, I'll give you your raspberry beret and your little red Corvette. I'm just talking about most of the crap where he's just preening and grabbing his crotch. And he's a pompous ass. That's where most of my Prince hatred is based on.
Love Bruce Springsteen.
INXS, great guys.
Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen is great. Born in the USA is a horrific song. And if I was president, there'd be a little more John Hyatt and a little less Born in the USA. That's all I'm saying.
How about a little more John Mellencamp?
I love John Mellencamp.
You love John Mellencamp because you don't know John Hyatt. If you knew John Hyatt, you would hate John Mellencamp because you'd go, oh, I see. This is a smart guy doing the same thing Mellencamp is trying to do.
Yeah, but he's from a small town.
Yeah. Born and raised.
It's patronizing music.
Tell it to Jack and Diane.
I'm going to bring some John Hyde in here one of these days and straighten your asses out. All right, this could go on forever. And
Oprah's not a blowhard.
Look, all these things you bring up, I've said I've watched Oprah, said I've learned things about Oprah. Oprah has a personality disorder. Does it mean she helps the world? Yes. Does it mean she's narcissistic? Yes. Is the world a better place because of Oprah? Probably. I don't hate Oprah nearly as much as you think I do.
Ooh. The first round of Idol's better than the rest.
We got a little John Hyde here.
Second hand. That is
insane! Really? Are you going to be watching tomorrow night or whenever it's on?
Glued. And I'll check out after the first round. I just don't care about
it. You don't like it when it becomes an actual competition and the singing is excellent?
The singing is okay.
Kelly Clarkson is an excellent
singer. Yes, there will be one or two good singers every 2 years. And that's there are one or two great singers every 2 years.
Right. You both, first off, your whole pie thing. Not only do you not like pie, but your idea of a good pie is a chocolate cake that's in a pie tin. You hate pie.
I don't want to eat fruit. fruit is what you eat when you're not eating dessert.
Well, how about your custards then?
I'd still rather have a cake. I like the cakey texture.
You don't get to go to the Benish place on Fairfax and get your super highfalutin Jew cake. You have to go to Ralph's with the goyim and eat the crappy cake weed at the kids' party.
You give me some cheap wedding cake, love it.
Okay, well, look, you guys have proven yourself
to
be
hard,
Adam. Clinically insane.
It wasn't easy for us to do this. You have to know.
Yeah. Yeah, the devil inside. Look, this
every
band
single one of us
sucks. And I like these guys. They're great guys. They were on Loveline just like 2 days before Michael Hutchence died. Great guys, sweet guys, nice guys. But their music feels like it's missing something.
Soul?
Yes, something. It's bad music, Bald Brian. It's no wonder a guy likes baseball would like this crappy music.
How dare you?
Where was I? Matt Hughes, that's right. I'm going to get him in here, and he's going to get your ass in a figure four, and I'm going to tell him, let him tap all he wants.
Are you going to fire us during the break, or wait till next year? Or?
I will say, two idiots entered the studio, only one will leave. Matt Hughes, everyone, from the UFC next. Great to see you, man.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing better now that you called Therese insane for a love of cheap cake over a wonderful American pie. But that's all right. She's one of those Jew communists who needs to go back to Berkeley and eat her cake.
You.
Her other hippie communist friends. Matt, great to see you. Made in America is the name of the book. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first real UFC book that I've seen, or at least written by a member of the UFC. Am I right?
It is the first one out, and there are more to follow, but I beat them all to the punch.
Yeah, and speaking of beating them all, something I was surprised about, Matt's professional record. Now, a lot of these guys in the UFC, names you've heard, guys like Chuck Liddell and stuff like that, they have records that are like 14-6 or maybe 17-4. Matt Hughes is 41-6. I mean, most of these guys have, we're getting close to 50 fights combined here. Most guys seem to have close to 20 fights combined. How do you have so many fights? Who are you fighting, yourself for the first 5 years?
I'm an old man. I'm 34 years old. I love to fight. Back when I was younger and wasn't tied up with the UFC, I'd fight once a month because it was fun.
And where and how? I mean, how did it get
Midwest,
started?
Small shows. Mm-hmm. Fought in Japan a lot, fought in Australia, England.
In the airport, or would you actually go there and have sanctioned bouts?
Fly there, baby, and walk across the street to some guy.
Some foreigner looks at you cross-eyed, and it's on. So you did a lot of this stuff and for not much prize money, right?
Just depends. Like you go over and fight in Japan, and back in the day, you know, $12,000 was big money, and you bring it to the United States, and it's all tax-free. And so, I mean, there's definitely money to be made out there. But nothing like I'm getting paid now.
How did this start for you? You wrestled in high school. You wrestled in college.
Correct. I grew up with a twin brother on my farm, and we were always competing and fighting, and then I wrestled in high school and wrestled in college, and still wanted to compete afterwards. So.
Well, I don't want to correct Matt, but they're actually triplets, and Matt just choked out.
The third one.
Well, he ate some of his mac and cheese. What are you going to do?
Choke him out.
Got to throw down in the kitchen. So you grew up wrestling, and you brought that then into the ring. But when did you find out that this even existed? And did you ever think, I mean, you've been around for a while. It wasn't even legal in a lot of states when you started,
no,
right?
No, I grew up watching Hoist and Dan Severn and them. And it's funny that you watch that on TV, and then, you know, probably 3 years after I started watching the UFC, I was competing in smaller shows. So to me, I found it incredibly easy when I first got in the sport, but I didn't really factor in my opponents. You know, I wasn't fighting world-class opponents right off the bat.
Well, stop me if I'm wrong here, but it seems the UFC and just mixed martial arts has taken, in a way, sort of the same trajectory women's boxing has taken, which is at the beginning, 10 years ago, when you saw women fighting, you thought, oh, the skill level isn't great here. There's plenty of heart, but the skill level didn't seem to be there. And in the beginning stages of UFC and mixed martial arts, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, you'd see guys just going at it. But the skill level didn't seem to be there. The skill level seems to be there now. It's a sport now.
It's really evolved. You know, back in the day, you know, it was the UFC was started as, let's see what a wrestler would do against a boxer, a taekwondo guy do against a jiu-jitsu artist, karate against sambo. So that's how it started. Now everybody's realized that you got to know a little bit about everything to be competitive.
So the guys you're fighting now, much more skilled than the guys you saw in there 10 years ago.
Yeah, because if I'm fighting a boxer, all I've got to do is take him to the ground and he doesn't know what's going on.
And also now they're guys that grew up in this sport or will grow up in this sport. See, everyone else back in the day is a converted fill in the blank. This guy's a kickboxer. They converted him to the UFC. This guy's a wrestler. They converted him. Now this is its own sport.
You know what's going on in this sport, Adam. I am surprised.
You're
a closet. You watch this all the time.
I do. Well, you know what?
This Saturday, UFC. What is it, England? England?
Oh, really?
UFC 80 this Saturday.
Wow.
Who's fighting?
I don't know.
Evidently, you're not into the sport, Matt Hughes.
I'll find out Saturday.
I do sort of study it, but I sort of study everything, and I like almost all sports, but I see what's going on, and in the future, it's going to be really hard for people to compete when guys grow up doing this mixed martial arts.
Because if you were a little kid training for UFC, you learned some grappling, you learned some boxing. You learned some kickboxing.
You guys know more about this sport than any other radio show I've ever been on.
This is a station for guys.
Well, Matt, now, what about you and your retirement? Are you retired? Are you going to retire?
I'm not going to retire. I'm going to take some time off. I've got a new gym I'm opening in Granite City called the Hit Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens February 9th. 14,000 square feet of just plain manly gym.
Where's Granite City?
Right outside of St. Louis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's big.
Where you're going to be doing mornings to keep up with the Prince and
who?
The pie talk.
With who?
Floor wax. That's right. Pie girl or cake girl and floor wax in the morning. Granite City, 8:70 a.m.
Yeah. So I got a clothing line out, onemoreround.com. So I'm launching that. It's been launched, but you know, it just takes time to get this stuff off the ground and. So those are two things going on.
Well, now you're 34, you called yourself an old man, but really this is a sport that you can go into and keep going into probably into your early 40s. There have been some pretty successful guys. Not everyone can do it, but it's not football. You have maybe 5-8 more years than you do in the NFL, let's say, in the UFC. Now, maybe a little tougher for you guys in the smaller weight divisions. Maybe it's like boxing, where in boxing there's 44-year-old heavyweights, but you don't see too many 44-year-old welterweights. Do you think there's some of that?
You know what? I'm so surprised. I've never thought about that. The smaller weights needing their speed and their agility, and with age, you know, you just
when you're George Foreman, all you have to do is lift your right arm, take the burrito out of it, and sock the other guy in the head with your 70-pound right arm, and he will crumple. When you're in the UFC, you need quickness.
Yeah.
You need speed and agility.
You know, you brought up a good point. You know, if you look at Randy Couture, he's 43 years old.
Right.
I should have around 9 or 10 more years left in me on the timeline. But my problem is I've got a great family at home. I got an 18-month-old daughter.
Oh, congratulations.
Two boys, 6 and 8. And they need their dad around. And I want to spend time with my girls. So
now,
I don't want to fight until I'm 40.
Do your boys watch you fight?
Yeah. My 8-year-old's been to, I think, 4 of them live.
Now, how do you feel about that? Because I feel like it could be potentially traumatizing to see daddy getting choked down. Unless it was, you know, of a sexual nature, in which case that's what you call a highlight.
Yeah,
but you walk in, and if, again, non-sexual nature, you come walking in and daddy's being choked out, that's traumatizing.
Yeah, but he's going to have to realize someday what I did. He's watched him a lot on tape. So
I know, but if mommy did porn one day, one day her 7-year-old would find out. But why? Why today?
Matt, do girls...
Should we invite her onto the set to watch mommy work? Hey, bring your daughter to work day.
You're
here we go.
You have to know what mommy does.
Sweetie, hand mommy the KY and the cocaine. Thank you, sweetness. Remember, cocaine is only for older whores. I mean, mommies.
You know how they tickle Elmo?
That's right. Porn is only for mommies who love other mommies and wear things that daddies are supposed to have that have straps on them. You are traumatized. I will say this. Your kid could be in therapy a few short years from now saying, I was ruined because my dad, Matt Hughes, took me to fight and he lost. Have you lost in front of them?
Yes, I have.
No, Matt.
Was he crying and scared?
He just didn't quite understand what was going on. But there's been fights that I've won that he just doesn't quite understand what's going on.
At home.
You choked out your wife for liking cake instead of pie.
It was more ground and pound.
I wouldn't have married a lady like that.
Yes, touche. All right, let's see. We got some questions for Matt. Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I sort of addressed your retirement one, but if you'd like to heap a little praise on Matt Hughes, that would be awesome.
Definitely. I love Matt Hughes, but since the retirement one's been asked, I have a quick question, Matt. With your first fight with Carlos Newton, I'm a big fan of yours, but something's really been irking me. Were you choked out when you dropped him on his head?
I wouldn't say I was choked all the way out, but yes, he was definitely somewhat choking me. That's why I slammed him like I did, because I figured I could only get one good slam in him. If I slammed him and he didn't release his hold, I was going to be dead in the water. So.
Right. So after the fight, you kind of had a look on your face like, what happened? I was like, oh, my God, did he get choked out? Who won? And when you won, I was happy, but it almost seemed like you didn't really know you did when it happened.
No, I didn't. I didn't know when the ref pushed me away, I didn't know why he pushed me away. You know, so I had to look around and say, whoa, the guy's out.
Yeah, and, you know, you see these guys interviewed after the fight, and we always make fun of boxers. Especially, they put the mic in their face, and they're like, well, I'd just like to thank Jesus Christ. And and once in a while, they trip up a little, like, well, I punched him in his equilibrium. And all my friends are sitting around, all the fat white guys drinking beer, going, come on, buddy, learn to speak. If you want 12 rounds where you got punched in the head nonstop for 12 rounds and someone shoved a mic in front of your face, you would be very hard-pressed to string together a sentence. And if some guy was just choking you out, and you were not to mention... And just a crazy adrenaline. I mean, it must take you a few days to come down from just the crazy adrenaline surge you feel out there.
I think that comes down for me. I've done it so many times. Comes down pretty quick. But you are excited after a fight, and you're right. They should have a mic in front of you, and they expect you to say something to 15,000 live, and then who knows how many watching on pay per view. So
right,
yeah, it's nerve wracking a little bit.
Do they ever, I don't know if they allow this. I've never seen it, I don't think, in the octagon. You know the, like, Golden Palace stuff and the stuff where they take the Sharpie and they draw on you? Do they have that?
One, Rico Rodriguez did Golden Palace on his back, all across his back. Yes, cha-ching.
And what happened?
He got in trouble. But,
oh,
I mean,
he did?
They couldn't, it was tattooed on for a matter of weeks. So, I mean, they couldn't, it's not like they could take it off.
It's not a good sport, though, because there's too much grappling, you know, to really get your message across,
right.
You know?
You need a striker.
They've got, like, 10 cameras, so they just told production, hey, you take whatever view doesn't show the back, and it never got on paper.
How about a more meaningful just sort of PSA, you know, instead of making some offshore gambling company money, how about just one that says, like, you know, Matt Hughes, like, talk to your kids. You know what I mean? Or give a hoot, don't pollute, or something. That's something I could get behind. And then you could start rooting for the guy who had the recycling message on him versus the guy who wanted to talk about teen pregnancy.
Would you do that, Matt?
I wouldn't tattoo. I don't have any tattoos. So
no tats.
I would not put anything on my body.
To me, a guy like Matt Hughes, the clean cut, the straight edge guy, the guy...
kid next door.
The farmer guy with
wholesome.
The no tats and not all the piercing thing, that's a scarier guy. Because the guy with the mohawk, I feel like he's compensating.
Yes.
I feel like he's trying to get you to feel a way about himself that he doesn't feel about himself. But when Matt just comes in there in his coveralls...
He's country strong.
Playing his red, white, and blue banjo.
Eating apple pie.
Or cake.
Roy Clark holding the belt in front of him. Roy Clark's corpse holding the belt in front of him. Let's ask one more question from Andy for Matt Hughes from the UFC. Hey, Andy.
How you doing, Adam?
Good. Question for Matt.
All right. How you doing, Matt? I haven't read your book yet, but I was on FoxSports.com about a week ago. And it talked about you having some animosity towards Tim Sylvia that you wrote on your book. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Well, yeah. When Tim moved to Iowa, he had this personality that a lot of us didn't get along with. So that's addressed in the book, and that's what it's all about. It's nothing recent. It was all when Tim moved to Iowa, and the amount of time that it took me to befriend Tim. My friendship's never been easily given. I mean, it's somewhat earned. So that's
discriminating. I like that.
Hey, Adam. Adam, by the way, BJ Penn's fighting this Saturday. Pound for pound, the greatest.
Oh, wait a minute. Matt Hughes is here.
That's true. He's good too, man. But
BJ did beat you, right?
BJ, yes. BJ beat me years ago.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, that was then. Now,
BJ Penn and Joe Stevenson this Saturday night, UFC 80.
I don't get in the octagon with a guy named BJ. I feel like if we stayed on our feet, that'd be one thing. But when you go down to the mat with a guy named BJ, there could be trouble.
You're going down with BJ.
Yes. I'd definitely wear two pair of board shorts for that.
Ground and pound.
That's right. All right, Matt Hughes, God bless you. One of the good ones. Loves pie, loves America, loves beating the crap out of guys with tattoos. Made in America is the name of the new book. It is out as we speak. Oh, and by the way, Matt's going to be tonight at the Walmart in Anaheim. Is that true? Yes. Walmart in Anaheim signing books.
If anybody has any questions about me, then go to matt-hughes.com. And my buddy just launched a new website called Worst Email Ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny.
All right,
it would be worth checking out.
Check that out tonight, 6 o'clock at the Walmart in Anaheim. You can look it up. Matt, great to see you, as per usual. When we come back, somebody suggested instead of Music Monday, a Movie Monday. We'll do that today, based on your suggestion. This is Best Comedies and Most Overrated Comedies. Be prepared for another UFC-style throwdown in here. It's going to get ugly. All right, we'll do Movie Monday next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where we're trying out a variation on Music Monday, though it's Tuesday and we're dealing with movies. So it's Movie Tuesday. Makes sense, right? Adam, Brian, and Teresa will play some clips from what they think are the most underrated and overrated comedies of all time. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, somebody suggested a Movie Monday instead of a Music Monday, and we thought, why not give the people what they want? You guys have some good suggestions up there on the screen, 866-901-ADAM. We started in the comedy genre. We went with underrated and overrated, but sometimes it just comes down to good and bad. It's easy to pick on a bad movie that everyone else thinks is bad, though. The challenge is picking on a movie that everyone else thinks is good and making a compelling argument as to why it is bad. I will start in the good category, Bald Brian. Before we play the clip, let me toss a few out that we didn't have clips for, but I think are great comedies. And if you folks haven't seen any of these movies, this is why I got into radio, to tell you to go see these movies. Lost in America, Albert Brooks, yeah. At his best, funny, straight on through, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Lots of great lines, just so much better than so many of the comedies that are out today. Speaking of going way back, early Woody Allen, Love and Death, just tons of jokes, but works. Normally, I don't like joke comedies, but Woody Allen was at the top of his game with Love and Death. And speaking of Woody Allen, Crimes and Misdemeanors, funny, smart, provocative, interesting, thought-provoking, straight on through. I don't even know if it's a drama or a comedy, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it has both. That's why it's brilliant.
T, I'm throwing you this bone, The Devil Wears Prada. I'm throwing you that bone because once in a while you have to watch a movie with your chick and she wants to see Waitress and you don't want to waste your time with that. You go see Devil Wears Prada. T, Devil Wears Prada better than Waitress?
Hell no.
Really? You bought into all that sappy stuff and the movie was about a chick who made pies.
Wait a second. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, baby.
I was...
You better check yourself.
Before I wreck myself.
That's right.
During the credits of Waitress, I was so unglued,
because
I had to wait.
Because the chick died who wrote it.
I know, but I couldn't separate knowing that.
Well, okay, but as a critic, please try to do that.
But I did love Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada, and I loved all the clothes.
Don't cry!
much smarter, more interesting movie. And Emily Blunt was great in there as the whatever, the conniving
Anne Hathaway,
assistant.
Very likable.
Much better performances. The performances in Waitress were like stilted and out of a comic book. Okay, baby. All right. You got a heart. Here's one.
And it's breaking.
Big budget Eddie Murphy, The Nutty Professor. I love the first one. Funny. I mean, it really made you realize what a talent he is when he does all the characters and all that kind of stuff. And then Dave Chappelle as the comedians, women love to shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. I mean, that's in my big budget, big release, big blockbuster.
There's a handful category. Of great scenes in that movie.
A handful of, yes, that's what that is. Yeah. There's a bunch of great scenes in it that's strung together by not really too great a movie. Right. But here's a great movie. Interesting. Raising Arizona. This thing should be shown at film schools. And here's one, T. Come on, baby. This one's for you. Election.
Oh, of course.
Matthew Broderick.
Loved it.
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon. Yes.
Yeah,
there's a good, interesting movie.
Yeah.
Here's one. Does not get its due. And I know you think it does, but it really doesn't. The Blues Brothers. The Blues Brothers not only was a really funny movie, but totally groundbreaking. Like, there's never really been a movie before it or after it that was like it. I mean, they're comedies all the time, and Adam Sandler does this kind of comedy, and Eddie Murphy does that kind of comedy, and then there's your Little Miss Sunshine, don't get me started kind of comedy. But the Blues Brothers, when have you seen a comedy like that?
All men love the Blues Brothers movie.
Great sound. When has there been a comedy that has a better soundtrack? Now, you may go Animal House, but that soundtrack was just a bunch of songs from the 60s that somebody compiled, Ivan Reitman put together on a disc. The Blues Brothers is almost a better soundtrack than it is a movie, and that's saying a lot. All right. And I would be remiss if I did not mention our own movie, Windy City Heat.
Huh?
Cult classic. I suggest you find it. All right. Ready to get to the ones we have clips for?
Yeah.
Let's go to my number one in the good department. Another Albert Brooks treasure.
Daniel, where are your supplies?
Defending your life.
I left them at home.
You left them?
I lost them.
What did you do? Lose them or leave them?
Well, both. I left them and I lost them.
Where are your supplies, Daniel? What's going on? Do you know how much these things cost?
I love this scene.
Class, tell Daniel how much the paints cost.
$10.
And the brushes?
$3.
What's the total?
$13.
It's so subtle.
If you don't have any paint, you can't be an artist.
I just love that half the class is 13.
You've got to have paint. You understand that? This is careless behavior. I'll have to call your father after school today. We're going to have to figure out a way for you to pay for this.
All right. Not only funny, but interesting. Basically says you get on in the afterlife depending on how you lived your life. It's inspiring, and it's funny.
It has a message while being funny.
And smart. All right. Now, this may be a controversial one, but let's go to my overrated Bald Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And here will be my argument for this.
So it's just McLovin?
Yeah.
That's badass.
It is badass.
Really
it's
cool.
Badass.
Yeah.
All right. Super Bad. Now, Knocked Up. Funny. Super Bad. Pretty good, but overrated. Every critic that saw the movie said, well, it was a really funny movie, but the cops in the movie were from another movie. They shouldn't have even been in that movie. They were distracting. And then they went on to say, great movie. But the cops that were in your movie comprised one-third of the movie, maybe 25 or 30% of the movie, and they were from another movie, you got to drop it down from great to good at that point. It was too long. It just kept going. It had a bunch of good scenes, and it generally felt good, but the cops from a totally Seth Rogen and the other guy were from another movie, and they were distracting. Like, they kept getting back to them, and they were shooting and trashing the car and everything. Again, good movie, just a little bit overrated. Hey, Bald Brian, let's go back to the good department and one that I know is probably on everyone's list. But, boy, it's one of these things where if you're skimming past cable and you pass this movie, you always stop.
Stumpy Joe.
Eric Stumpy
Eric
Joe.
Childs.
And what happened to Stumpy Joe?
Well, it's not a very pleasant story, but
It's possible.
He died, he choked on, the official explanation was he choked on vomit.
It was actually someone else's vomit. It's not...
Exactly.
You know, there's no real...
Well, they can't prove whose vomit it was. They don't have facilities in Scotland Yard to print.
You can't really dust for vomit.
Yeah, the thing that was great about Spinal Tap, I was working in my shop last weekend, and a bunch of Spinal Tap songs just came up on the computer. And the songs are great, and not only are they great, not only are they super funny, but they're actually good songs. And if you were in a hair band at the time, you should just hang your head and cry, because these guys, these handful of, you know, lay musicians who are improvisational actors, really actually put out better music than the crap you're putting out.
Sure, the parody songs were catchier than the actual hair band songs.
Even if you remove the parody element from them, I still like most of those songs better than most of the crap that was coming out in the late 80s. All right, let's take ourselves a break. T, Bald Brian, you guys got stuff loaded up?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Absolutely.
Is this going to be tough on us, T?
It might be tough on me.
Mm-hmm. Bald Brian?
I hope you don't like either one of these ones that I don't like. These are not good movies. We'll see.
Let me ask you this. How can a guy so smart be so dumb? We'll take a quick break, back with your suggestions and Movie Monday next. That's from Caddyshack, Overrated.
Can't be sad when you hear that.
No. Love that song. A fun movie. Lots of fun scenes. Here's what I'd say about Caddyshack. Funny, not a good movie. Almost looked a little cheap.
Yeah, production values look cheap.
Thank you. A lot of people defend Caddyshack quite a bit. Definitely no Blues Brothers. All right, quickly, because it's on my list as well, Cody from Las Vegas.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening, Cody?
Nothing much, chilling.
What do you got for us?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Overrated.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's listen.
Hey, Napoleon. What'd you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska, hunting wolverines.
Did you shoot any?
Yes, like 50 of them. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
What kind of gun did you use?
A freaking 12-gauge. What do you think?
Yeah. See, now, here's Napoleon Dynamite to me. Good movie for $60,000 budget. John Heder's great, but script bad. Without John Heder, that movie is nothing. If you just read the script, it'd be like, what the hell is this? If you took Anthony Michael Hall and put him in that role, a fat, bloated 40-year-old Anthony Michael Hall.
Wait a second. Wasn't he in Weird Science?
He was in the cinematic triumph known as Weird Science, you crazy broad.
Napoleon Dynamite is overrated.
Really?
But it is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I think there were other performances besides Heater. I think Uncle Rico was good.
Kind of.
Pedro was good.
Yeah. It was quirkier.
Where are they now?
Than it was good. All right. Let's see. What do I got? Overrated, underrated. Let's go to the good. Let's go to my underrated. Let's go to the one below my Weird Science.
Yeah, there it is.
Here we go.
So I'm tending bar down there at Eklund and Sweden's last Tuesday, and this little guy's drinking, and he says, so where can a guy find some action? I'm going crazy out there at the lake. And I says, what kind of action? And he says, woman action. What do I look like? And I says, well, what do I look like? I don't arrange that kind of thing. And he says, but I'm going crazy out there at the lake. And I says, yeah, but this ain't that kind of place.
Uh-huh.
He says, oh, so I get it. So you think I'm some kind of jerk for asking, only you don't use the word jerk.
I understand.
And he calls me a jerk, says, last guy thought he's a jerk, is dead now. So I don't say nothing. He says, what do you think about that? And I says, well, that don't sound like too good a deal for him then.
You got that right.
Yeah, he says, yeah, that guy's dead, and I don't mean of old age. And then he says, geez, I'm going crazy out there at the lake. Mrs. Mora, she heard about the homicides down here and thought I should call it in, so I called it in. End of story.
Good drop.
Well, what does this guy look like, anyways?
Oh, he's a little guy, kind of funny looking.
Uh-huh. In what way?
Oh, just in a general kind of way.
We're doing the whole movie? We're playing the whole movie. That's Fargo. William H. Macy. Awesome.
So was Frances McDormand.
She was great in that. Man, that was a good movie. It looked great. It sounded great. It had a great story. It was interesting. It was funny. You're not going to do better than Fargo, people. I would like to have pulled Macy aside after he finished Fargo and show him Wild Hogs so he could have killed himself. This is your future, Macy. Now here's a pistol.
Have the
do the right thing. Do the right thing. I think he would have killed himself. Have seriously.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, and he should have.
Fargo was what, early 90s, 92, 93, somewhere in there?
96.
Oh, really? Yeah. That late? Okay.
But after that, yeah.
Okay, so it's 1996. And I pull Macy's side, and he's riding high. Maybe gets nominated for a Golden Globe or something. Fargo, what a body of work. What a piece of work. Then I pull him aside, and we sit down, and we watch Wild Hogs. And then I just slide the pistol across the table. I don't say anything.
He says, that'll never happen. I've got Mystery Men coming out next year. I'll be a multimillionaire.
All right. What do you got in the good, what do you got in the bad department, T-Bone?
Okay, well, in the good department, and this is unoriginal, a lot of people love this movie. And I think because almost everybody relates to the main character, Max Fisher, but I relate to him more than any other comedy protagonist because he is a middle-class kid, but he has an academic scholarship to a prep school.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells everybody that his dad, who's a barber, is really a neurosurgeon because he's kind of embarrassed. And here in this scene from the movie Rushmore, he competes for the affections of his teacher with Luke Wilson, and Bill Murray's also there.
I like your nurse's uniform, guy. These are OR scrubs. Oh, are they? Well, they're totally inappropriate for the occasion.
Well, I didn't know we were going to dinner.
That's because you weren't invited.
Take it easy, Max.
You were the one that ordered him whiskey and soda. So what's wrong with that? I can write a hit play. Why can't I have a little drink to unwind myself? So tell me, Curly, how do you know Miss Cross?
We went to Harvard together.
Oh, that's great. I wrote a hit play and directed it. So I'm not sweating it either.
Can we get a check, please?
The hit play, by the way, is Serpico.
I'd, I'll rewatch it, but to me, this is a Royal Tannenbaum sort of thing, which is a lot of stuff and not much substance. A lot of aren't we cool meets not really that cool. I don't know. I'll watch it again. I'll give you a half check on that one.
Okay.
I'll watch it again.
I loved it.
All right. But you loved Little Miss Sunshine, too. Bald Brian?
All right, well, this is not a comedy. You'll not find it in the comedy section. But I saw this movie. I laughed my ass off genuinely, not ironically. And maybe it's because I love dark, dark comedy. Mm-hmm. This is the movie called American Psycho. People might not think of it as a comedy, but there are many, many, many funny lines, such as here when serial killer Patrick Bateman tries to get his date to drink.
I don't want you to get drunk, but that's a very fine Chardonnay. You're not drinking.
He's killing people, and then here he is trying to break up with his girlfriend, Reese Witherspoon, in a restaurant, very crowded restaurant.
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
But your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. I really don't think it would work.
I know that your friends are my friends, and I've thought about that. You can have them.
What about the past? Our past?
We never really shared one. Evelyn, I'm, sorry, I just, you're not terribly important to me.
Oh, no.
She cries.
Made you laugh, Brian, when a woman's in pain that way? Deep emotional pain. That's what makes you cry or makes you laugh.
And then he threw out Chainsaw Woman.
Was Christian Bale in that?
He was great.
T?
Yeah?
I bet he was either thinner or fatter than the last time you saw him. What do you got in the good department?
That was my good one. I have an overrated.
Oh, I'm sorry, the bad, the overrated department.
This is tough, and I think I'm going to take a lot of heat because people worship this movie, and smart people worship this movie, and I'm willing to be wrong here, but I tried to watch it, and it was so effing boring. I could not take it. Here is a scene from Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Yeah.
This is Slim Pickens, okay? Now, by the way.
I'm with you.
Kubrick told Slim Pickens that this was not a comedy because he wanted to get a certain performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy to convince. It was very easy, actually, to convince him that it wasn't a comedy. Not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Slim Pickens delivering a tedious monologue with lots of jargon. And also, you'll notice, no score.
This is your attack profile. To
and should. The enemy cannot monitor voice transmission or plant false transmission. The CRM-114 is to be switched into all the receiver circuits. The emergency base code prefix is to be set on the dials of the CRM. This will block any transmission other than those preceded by a code prefix.
Now, that was Blazing Saddle Slim Pickens, too, right? I mean, was that the same guy? Somebody go back and get a whole S-load of dimes.
Then everyone thinks it's hilarious. And there you hear some music. You hear that patriotic music, but there's no score throughout the scenes of the movie. Here's Peter Sellers. Everyone thinks it's hilarious. He's playing the president of the United States, and he's talking to the Soviet president. And by the way, this, I'm playing you the funniest part of the movie.
Sure.
I am as sorry as you are, Dimitri. Don't say that you're more sorry than I am, because I'm capable of being just as sorry as you are. So we're both sorry, all right? All right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. This is Emperor's New Clothes stuff. Now, maybe I didn't get it. Maybe I need to watch it again. Maybe I was too drunk the first time I saw it. But I never felt that way about this movie either. And I think most people just nod their head because it's Kubrick and Sellers. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, sure.
They're both brilliant. I've loved every other Kubrick movie, including Eyes Wide Shut, which a lot of his fans hated. I didn't get this movie, and there comes a time in life, Adam.
You got to take a stand, baby.
You have to admit that you don't get it.
Yeah. All right. Bald Brian, what do you got in the bag?
This is a sequel. This is a terrible movie. For some reason, people love it. I think Teresa may even love it. Or Angie. I'm sorry. Angie definitely loves it. And it's a bunch of,
Arthur, too.
Called European Vacation.
That's when he got cops on the moon in New York City.
European Vacation. Here's Chevy Chase trying to order a Coke on a plane. Listen to the hilarious wordplay.
Would you like something to drink?
Ellen, you want something?
No, thank you.
I'll have a Coke.
Do you want that in the can?
No, I'll have it right here.
Hilarious!
I didn't like any of the vacation movies.
Because can means toilet.
Yeah, the first one was sort of like, all right, it's fun. You know, John Candy, whatever. It kind of was one of those was-what-it-was films. And those comedies are meant for 15-year-olds, and here's what happens. Your goofy friends see those movies when they're 14 and a half, and there's plenty of stuff you can enjoy before you get laid and before you start drinking. Once you start drinking and getting laid, everything has to meet a certain level, otherwise you'll reject it. Because you'll go, hey man, I could be drunk and getting laid right now. Why am I wasting my time with this crappy movie? But when you're 13, everything is fine, and thus you run into people who are like, greatest comedy movie ever made? Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That movie is 10 kinds of funny. And you're like, huh? Is that Steve Martin? And didn't I? Yeah, oh, yeah. It's hilarious. And you're like, well, wait a minute. The movie's made. You're 28 years old. Yes, you were 13 before. You were not drinking or getting laid when you saw that movie, and thus you think it's still good.
Right. I'm aware Ice Castles is not a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw it, I was at a vulnerable, tender age.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a quick rundown of overrated before we get to my number one. Gods Must Be Crazy. This is one of those movies that came out in the 80s.
Couldn't have been more bored during that
movie. It was a horrible movie that everyone just thought was great. It was like, oh, you've never seen The Gods Must Be Crazy? It's awesome.
Coke bottle drops down in the village.
It was like made for like $10, and it sucked, and it was translated, like it was like dubbed, and it was, I want to find the people that recommended that movie, and I want to get a running start and a flying knee to the groin. All right. Lost in Translation. Sorry. Looked good. Movie about nothing. I look fine. Nice little movie, but not a comedy. Not Bill Murray had some moments in it, but no. Caddyshack already talked about Deuce Bigelow. Now, no one thinks this is good, but the two Deuce Bigelow movies probably made combined several $100 million. They are insultingly bad. It's one thing when you're not funny and you're not trying to be funny, like Lost in Translation. But when you're trying and you're trying extra hard times two movies, that is bad. And worse than bad, confusing. Go watch those movies. Some of the gags are confusing.
How can it be confused?
In Deuce Bigelow 2, he dates a woman who has a penis for a nose.
That's hilarious.
We've all been there.
And when it gets agitated,
I see,
because of the cologne Deuce is wearing when they're dancing cheek to cheek at a very swanky upscale restaurant, she sneezes. But You want to know what comes out?
Yeah.
Well, not what normally comes out of your nose, but what might come out of your nose if it was replaced with a penis.
Got it.
And then that what comes out hits everybody, the snooty maitre d', and the very last one, because comedy comes in threes, lands in some soup, and an unknowing patron takes a nice big ladle full of it. That is comedy right there. I don't know if Schneider, like, I don't know if he did a bag of mushrooms and then did some acid and then wrote that. Absolutely insane. All right, let's take a break and come back with all our number one in the bad department. And let me check my schedule. You want to do that? All right, let's do that, and then we'll do the news after that. Next on a music. Movie Monday.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. More Movie Monday on Tuesday with the most underrated and overrated comedies on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, we all have our number ones waiting. First, Brian from Sacramento. Brian?
Yes, I'm here.
Overrated, you say what?
Forrest Gump.
I disagree. Well, I like that movie.
I liked it too.
See, well, here's the problem. Is it a comedy? Is it a drama?
You know, yes and yes.
I love The Godfather. I love Star Wars. But if, you know, Chewbacca comes in to try to shoot one of the bad guys in Godfather, it doesn't work.
I disagree. I think that's the greatest movie. I think it was the greatest movie. You know what? You know who didn't need you on their in their research and development lab? A little company called Reese's. Because I would have been like, hey, man, we manufacture chocolate on this side of the plant. We manufacture peanut butter on that side of the plant. Maybe we could. And you would have jumped in and went, not over my dead body. I say Chewbacca walks into the original Godfather.
Good day, sir.
And you've just taken a good movie and made it great. All right, Brian, I get your semi-retarded point.
But the point, seriously, I mean, okay, you've got a compelling story. You know, this kid's got to wear this stuff on his legs, and then you feel for him, and then he teaches Elvis how to dance.
Or nice to talk to you. Yeah, yeah, look.
A football star.
All right.
What are they trying to do?
I'm hip to all. What happened was people kept talking about life being like a box of chocolate.
Yeah, that was
and it
annoying.
Got effed out, and it got annoying really fast. I just say that was an interesting script. When somebody sat down and wrote that script, like the first time you read that script, I mean, you went on a journey. I like when he took his walk across America and grew his beard and all that kind of stuff.
It was not derivative.
That's
but it became effed out.
For sure. All right, let's see. Uh-oh, Mark is enraged over your Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, I expected this.
Mark?
And I deserve it.
No, you don't. You deserve it over the cake. Mark?
Yes.
What's the problem with Teresa's hatred of Dr. Strangelove?
Well, see, Dr. Strangelove was a comedy. It was a post-comedy and social commentary on the movie Failsafe.
You're that nerd.
Mm-hmm. Now, all right, but still, ultimately, it has to be funny on its own, doesn't it?
No, there's more funny comments on the ones, and she's just stating one by Peter Sellers. He plays three roles in this movie.
Yeah, I know. He's a good actor. He's funny, but I didn't laugh in the movie, and it's boring.
George C. Scott is in the movie, too.
Let me tell you something, Mark, about George C. Scott. Do you know that Kubrick tricked him?
He plays a funny role in this movie.
Mark?
And this is not exactly...
Put him on hold.
Hold on. UC Strasser has a rebuttal. Hold on a second.
I have a rebuttal. Now... Kubrick, this is what they say about the filming of this movie. They told George C. Scott, Kubrick told him, just for improv, just to get into the mood, just completely overact, just go all the way. Mm-hmm. And then for the scenes I'm going to use, you'll pull it back. But just to get the move, I want you to go way overboard. And then Kubrick used those takes. And George C. Scott said he'd never work with him again.
Wow. You did your homework. All right. Hey,
George
Mark.
C. Scott.
Whatever his name.
What?
His funniest role was Hardcore.
Oh.
IMDb you'll laugh.
Where his daughter becomes a porn star?
Yes. Oh. All right.
Was he in Patton?
Great movie. All right, look, enough with you people. Let's get to our number one good and number one bad. You guys have your number one overrated, right?
Yeah.
Let me toss out my good in the underrated. Not good in the pure comedy department, just... It's a joke movie. People make it a joke movie, and it's really entertaining, and especially the great one. Jackie Gleason.
Soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
Jackie Gleason was great in this movie. And I know it seems like so much hillbilly fluff, but
he, about the title.
He was really, really funny.
What movie?
Smoking the Bandit.
Come on, baby. I liked it.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those Burt Reynolds crappy movies and everyone looks at it as such. But if you watch Smoking the Bandit, very watchable.
Yeah, I
enjoyed
it.
Sally Fields is good. Burt Reynolds is charming. And Jackie Gleason and his big load of a brother-in-law, or maybe it's his son, are extremely funny. All right, let's go to the bad now. T, what do you got?
Okay. This is the only movie I've ever walked out of in my life. Because I just love movies. I don't even care if they're bad. My dad and I went to see this. And I was so excited to be out at the movies with my dad. About 15 minutes in, we just...
Make me some juice.
Yeah, that was before.
15
he was
minutes into Yentl, too.
15
minutes. The Reckoning.
That's my dream. Yentl yeah. 2.5.
The Yentling.
Yeah, the Yentling. Beyond the Valley of the Yentls.
Mm.
So they... Basically, one of the main actors wouldn't come back, so they recycled unused footage from the first of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hired another actor, and they only shoot him either upside down or wearing sunglasses or from far away, so you can't tell it's not Crispin Glover.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Back to the Future 2.
Mm.
Wanted to take a long walk off a short pier.
Hey, listen, Lori.
Good one.
Is that dance at school tonight? Right now that my car's all fixed, I figured I'd cut you a break and give you the honor of going with the best-looking guy in school.
Yeah, well, I'm busy.
Yeah, doing what?
Washing my hair.
Ah, that's about as funny as a screen door on a battleship.
Screen door on a submarine, you dork.
Well, Biff, somebody already asked me to the dance.
Huh, that bug George McFly?
I'm going with Calvin Klein.
So, Crispin Glover wouldn't come back?
Yeah, he couldn't come to terms with the producers, so they just replaced him, and they used old footage and some new guy.
He won a landmark settlement against them, by the way. Sued over
really?
The big actor's rights thing. Yeah.
Because Crispin Glover wanted to make films about people with Down syndrome dry humping.
To be fair, it's cerebral palsy.
It's a victory for all of us.
All right, Bald Brian, give us your number one overrated.
Also a sequel. Also a terrible movie. I saw this in the theater, and actually the only movie I've actually ever yelled at the theater screen. This is Ben Stiller and Meet the Fockers.
And if that diamond ring gets sold, Greg's gonna feel like a big ass.
Oh, here comes the kid.
Because
it's hilarious when little kids swear.
No, we don't want to say that word, though. We don't want to say that word because that's a bad word.
Oh, but wait, it goes on. There's a lot
more.
How
did they get that kid to do all that stuff, by the way, in that movie? That kid seemed like he was like two.
Well, it never ended.
No. Tadpole. Can you say tadpole? Mad roll. Don't say... No, Jack's mole. Because Jack has a big mole on his face.
Mr. Moose likes to say good words. He doesn't like you to say bad words.
Yeah, kids are hilarious when they swear. That's high comedy.
Yeah, I gotta say, not nearly as good as the first one, but I didn't walk out.
Mm. And at least Barbara Streisand was in it.
I did enjoy the first one quite a bit. I always sort of forget how much I enjoyed that one. All right, well, one I've been complaining about since I got on the air here, my number one in the overrated department.
What's that, chicken? Every night is the chicken. Holy God almighty. Is it possible just once
Dad?
We could get something to eat for dinner around here that's not the goddamn chicken?
Alan Arkin.
I'm just saying.
Dad!
All right, all I'm saying is this. Not that funny, shouldn't have got best original, whatever, got nominated for a bunch of awards and a nice little film, don't get me wrong, but not all the accolades, not all the awards, and I don't even know what the message was. What was the message? Why was she in the talent contest / beauty contest in the first place? And yes, when you're fat, it does hurt you in the beauty contest. If you want to be fat, that's fine. You shouldn't enter the beauty contest. Alan Arkin was an old, like, weird pedophile, drug addict, junkie. And they had the other weirdo brother who didn't talk. And then you had the gay guy who slashed his wrist, but he wore long sleeves. Because here's what you do. Here's your strategy. If you ever try to snuff yourself out by slashing your wrist, you should slash your wrist, but don't die. You should live, and you should feel weird and ashamed about it. And then you should put gauze around your wrist, like your Chippendales dance, or like their cufflinks. And then, by all means, wear a long sleeve shirt, except for roll up the sleeves halfway up your forearm. Do not ever let that long sleeve dangle past the gauze. And then when it's really uncomfortable, when you run into your boyfriend at the gas station when you're buying porn, you wouldn't want to roll the sleeves down. Instead, you turn your back and throw the slushie at somebody.
I hear you, but when my alternative is Chuck and Larry...
Well, maybe you have a point. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. T, the news.
A big reality star from the past has a big confession.
I've been gay since I was 18 years old.
Yeah. Boston Rob?
Nope.
All right. Well, this is going to be good. We'll do the news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Paparazzi tell me it was too crowded for Spears to get out of her car, so she left and went to, get this, a Studio City chapel. Now, after a church visit, she came here to the Gaucho Grill in Studio City for a bite to eat.
Thank you very much. In real news, Mike Caroni is no longer sheriff of Orange County.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I think all the folks that went to journalism school and not to modeling school have had an impacted ass full of the Brit Watch 07 and spilling into 08. Yeah, starting to slide in little subversive messages in between.
Do you remember Jack Cafferty, I think, on CNN, yeah, throwing it back to Wolf and going, is Anna Nicole Smith still dead?
Yes, good. People should be doing that. All right, T, let's do your version of the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Voters across Michigan are making their way through the snow and cold to vote in its presidential primary. Mitt Romney had a little talk with Larry King. Here's a piece of that conversation.
What don't you like about it, running?
Well, the toughest part about running is the fact that sometimes the opposition campaign or campaigns don't just talk about issues. They make personal attacks, and that's never fun. It's not meant to be part of the political process. Let's talk about our differences on issues and record, but let's not make personal attacks, and that always demeans the process.
Hmm. Hey, a couple things. First off, I watched that, and at the end, he asked Larry if he could put a win with Mitt in 08 button on him, or is it 09? Listen.
Oh, wait.
And put a button on him. Larry fell over.
The weight of the button.
Could not take the extra weight of the button.
How about
toppled
a
him.
Sticker?
No, went right
he became
down.
Wobbly.
Yes. Also, you know, people are talking about Obama as being the first black president. Mitt Romney would be the world's whitest president. I feel like that's a real victory for racists right
there. He's even more white than Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's pretty white. You know, Bush, the first Bush, you know, especially pretty white. But Mitt is the white guy. Like, when you make a movie and you need an uptight president that doesn't care about little people, what's he look like?
Mitt Romney's right out of central casting with the teeth and the hair.
Certainly is.
But you can be funny without making fun.
True.
Now, here's an important story out of Caltech, no less, about wine.
Mm-hmm.
They did a study. The biggest factor in whether or not you enjoy wine is the price, or at least the perceived price. For the study, researchers took brain scans of people while they sampled four wines. A $90 wine marked with its real price, $90. The same $90 wine, but marked at $10. A $5 wine marked with its real price. And the same $5 wine marked at $45. Well, what happened? The reactions in the pleasure centers of the people's brains were directly connected to the wine price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got the most pleasure... The most pleasure out of the $90 wine marked $90, and the second most pleasure out of the $5 wine marked at $45. They liked the $5 wine marked at $45 way more than the $90 wine marked at $10.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the guy who ran the study says, quote, our results suggest the brain might compute pleasantness in a sophisticated manner involving the actual properties of the wine with expectations about how good it should be.
Well, look, I'm no wine expert, but the $2 chuck, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
I like
it. It's as good as most of the crap you get for $12, so why not?
The other, maybe a month ago while we were on vacation.
You know why I couldn't do a story like this, why? By the way? Because I'd be like, okay, well, now you've had a couple of glasses of wine. That concludes the first part of our study. Now for the booby-grabbing part of the study.
This is part of the study?
Sweetie, a little less arguing, a little less blouse taking offing.
Okay.
You want some more wine, baby?
Is that part of the study?
How about a foot massage?
Yeah, the study's just,
we want to see how your brain reacts when I massage your feet and you drink a cheap Merlot.
Shouldn't I be in the MRI machine?
Shh, just kick your pumps off, baby, okay, and quit talking. There you go. Sorry. Hey, yeah, would you trust a guy who had a foot fetish?
They creep me out.
Yeah, something's wrong with that guy, right?
If you've ever gone on television without your shoes on, you'll get a lot of creepy letters.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I don't even have nice feet, but I still get the letters.
All right, baby girl. Sorry, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, while I was at that place, Bacara in Santa Barbara, I had the most expensive glass of wine I've ever had, $35,
mm-hmm,
and it tasted so good to me.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Because I knew how much it was.
Yeah, this is the reason I like cars, because when you climb into a $175,000 Aston Martin versus a $20,000 Kia and shut the door, you know immediately what car you're in and where the $150,000 went. Wines, sometimes, things like that, that's up to how evolved your palate is, and evidently mine isn't very evolved.
Mine either. Now, American Gladiators is back with a vengeance.
Mm.
Because of the writer's strike, a lot of reality shows are hitting the airwaves. This premiered last week, got a huge number.
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Me too.
What'd you think?
I like the names. I mean, they
Crush.
Beer, Crush, Wolf, and Star, and Wolf, and Dry Anal Rape. I mean, they really strike fear into the hearts of the opponents, you know?
Do you guys remember? Do you remember Ice?
Yes.
From the old American
Gladiator? Sure all these people are getting dusted off now. They all have to either be dead or living in Florida or both.
Well, Ice, Lori Fetrick has made an appearance on Access Hollywood to tell us this.
I've been gay since I was 18 years old. That's something that, I mean, when I was on the Gladiators, no, I never talked about because I was in the height of my fame. And you can't talk about it, just like everybody says right now, you can't talk about being gay when you're in your height of your glory.
What a shocker. A chick with 19-inch pythons as a dyke. Who knew?
I know. Well, I will leave you with this. Katie Holmes has a movie coming out, Mad Money, with Queen Latifah and Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Here she talks about marriage and family life.
I mean, I feel really so lucky, and I love being married, and I love being his wife, and he makes me feel really good every day. That's important.
She means L. Ron Hubbard.
I try every day to do that for him. To us, we have a very normal life, and when we go home, we have our family, and I know my husband, and I know my children, and we focus on that, and really, that's what we like to do. We like to make movies, and we like to be with each other, and it's as simple as that.
Can I say this? She's not a good actress because there's not enough going on with her intellectually. There's not enough there. She's tall. She's pretty. That's about it. But and that'll carry you through Dawson's Creek, but it doesn't really translate onto the big screen, does it? And, oh, I'm so secretly jealous of all these people that get to do interviews that are completely unentertaining, and they don't even try. I would love just to be interviewed, and they'd go, Adam, tell me about your family life. And they put a little tech music in the background, and I'm like, well, some days I come home at noon, and then some days I come home after noon. And it's awesome. You know? The twins.
The twin, ever thought there's a Photoshop?
Yeah, the twins. I have two, and they're great. And, you know, you never stop being a parent, you know? You don't go to work and leave that at home. So the twins are awesome, and I like cars. I got a new car, and it's shiny, and my wife likes it, and she likes the twins. And then I come home sometimes before noon, you know, and
how's
the twins will be there.
How's your new project, the
Hammer?
Oh,
I like movies, and I like cars, and I like twins, and I like shiny stuff. And sometimes I'll just look at my own reflection in foil, but I'll crinkle it up, and I'll pretend like I'm an old person. Like one of the uglier people. It's awesome. Okay, I've said enough. That was revealing enough, right?
And that was the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
you, CNN.
I gotta bust my hymen trying to be funny every time someone puts a stupid mic in front of me and she just sits there and looks hot and just talks about me. Well, being a mom. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. All right, well, just enough time. Great to be back, by the way. Just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, On the Shoulders of Giants, which is out now. New book. Matt Hughes, everybody. Made in America, out now. That was from about 6:02 in the morning. Yep, little book signing tonight at the Walmart in Anaheim. You can go to free2hd at adamcarolla.com and check out your new HD radio. We got replays of me all day long, plus a little crank yankers. Hey, I want to thank my dear friend over at Tropical Cafe Smoothie, tropicalsmoothie.com. She brought us a bunch of wraps and smoothies, all good stuff and good for you. Quick break, oh, maybe about 20 hours or so, and we'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. So until then, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo.
Man, am I lonely. Boy, do I miss the inside of your mouth and your belly.